The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of a new way.
You know that it's
the start of the end of the old way.
Wake up.
Good morning, 300 out of work as the Melia shutters. The government bracing for loss from the Grand Lucayan deal and the FNM ratifying 8 more incumbents. The party has announced 25 candidates since last week. Plus, in our interview, we are talking with the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union. And in Morning Blend, we're talking with the head of the Bahamas Real Estate Association. It's all straight ahead this morning. I'm Dwight Strawn, and this is Morning Blend. Good morning again, Bahamas. It is Tuesday, February 16th, 2020. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Again, I'm Dwight Strawn. In a moment, Don Sargent will be joining us also this morning. As we said, more in Morning Blend business as we talk about the state of the real estate industry here in the country. But first, it's time for The Overnight, the latest breaking news from while we're sleeping at the top national and international headlines this morning. In the overnight, Melia Nassau Beach Resort will close its doors for 2 years, beginning March 1st, as it begins a $100 million renovation. The Nassau Guardian understands approximately 300 employees have been impacted by the move. In a letter to employees yesterday, Melia General Manager Daniel Lozano saying that the toughest part of the decision related to those that are most impacted by it. He said that they wholeheartedly were thankful to the staff who've continued along this journey with them. He said, quote, "We look forward to the day when we unveil a new resort to distinguished and valued guests from all over the world, furthering the long-term economic health and prosperity of the Bahamas." Lozano saying, upon the resort's reopening, current Melia associates will be invited to apply and will be given every consideration and opportunity for employment. Meanwhile, Bahamar President Graham Davis in a statement saying that the new fully renovated resort will open in the spring of 2023, following the extensive investment in virtually all areas of the property, consistent with the group's long-term commitment to a prosperous future for the hospitality and tourism industry. The government will incur a loss after the sale of the Grand Lucayan is complete, according to Tourism Minister Dionisio de Aguilar. When asked whether there will be a loss, de Aguilar said, quote, "Most definitely we will be incurring a loss on this project. There's no doubt about it. But it was created in our minds by things that were only controlled by God, and we have nothing to do with that." A 35-year-old Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer charged with the rape of a woman Marine. Prosecutors say Ronaldo Wilkinson raped the 32-year-old at the Defense Force base in Matthewtown in Managua on February 5th. Wilkinson was not required to enter a plea to the charge when he appeared before the Chief Magistrate Joyanne Ferguson Pratt yesterday. Wilkinson was denied bail. However, his lawyer says he has a pending bail application in the Supreme Court. As a result, the magistrate ordered the police to take Wilkinson to the Central Police Station. Wilkinson next appears before the magistrate on April 14th. At that time, prosecutors intend to send his case to the Supreme Court for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment. Wilkinson has been suspended from his duties pending the outcome of the case. The Free National Movement ratifying an additional 8 candidates, all incumbents. The incumbents including Frankie Campbell for Southern Shores, Michael Pintard, Marco City, Iram Lewis, Central Grand Bahama, Adrian Gibson, Long Island, Bakisha Parker Edgecombe for West Grand Bahama and Bimini, Ricky Mackey for North Eleuthera, Ruben Ramming for Pinewood, and Shannon Don Cartwright for St. Barnabas. So far, the FNM has ratified 25 candidates for the general election, 19 incumbents and 6 newcomers. In a statement last night, the FNM said the incumbents will help advance the party's agenda, which at its core will ensure the continued building of a better Bahamas, according to the party. Meanwhile, House Speaker Halsey Moultrie says that he believes the next election may be called before June, if not sooner. He was speaking on Guardian Radio's The Hit Back with Nahaja Black yesterday. He said, quote, "I've reached the conclusion that the elections must be called very soon." When asked what led him to this determination, he said, quote, "The circumstances are as such that the revenue generator of the Bahamas is basically in shutdown mode, so we don't have any revenue coming in. Comparatively speaking, we were running a deficit budget even with the revenue at its peak. So we find ourselves in a circumstance now where we have basically maxed out our borrowing capacity at preferred interest rates." He noted that loan sharks will always be willing to lend the country money. Overseas, when the coronavirus pandemic took hold of India, there were fears it would sink the fragile health system of the world's second most populous country. Infections climbed dramatically for months, and at one point, India looked like it might overtake the United States as the country with the highest case toll. But infections began to plummet in September, and now India is reporting about 11,000 new cases a day compared to a peak of nearly 100,000, leaving experts perplexed. They've suggested many possible explanations for the sudden drop, seen in almost every region, including that some areas of the country may have reached herd immunity, or that Indians may have some pre-existing protection from the virus. The Indian government has also partly attributed the dip in cases to mask wearing, which is mandatory in public in India, and violations draw hefty fines in some cities. But experts have noted the situation is more complicated since the decline in is uniform, even though mask compliance is flagging in some areas. It's more than just an intriguing puzzle. Determining what's behind the drop in infections could help authorities control the virus in the country, which has reported nearly 11 million cases and over 155,000 deaths. So far, some 2.4 million people have died worldwide. And a shipment of a COVID-19 vaccine produced in China has arrived in Hungary, making the country the first in the European Union to receive a Chinese vaccine. A jet carrying 550,000 doses of the vaccine developed by the Chinese state-owned company Sinopharm landed in Budapest after flying from Beijing. The shipment is enough to treat 275,000 people with the two-dose vaccine. Hungary expects to receive 5 million doses of the Sinopharm vaccine over the next 4 months. The country has sought to purchase vaccines from countries outside the EU's common procurement program, claiming that delays in the bloc's rollout is costing lives. The Sinopharm vaccine, which the developer says is nearly 80% effective, is already in use in Hungary's non-EU neighbor, Serbia, where about 500,000 ethnic Hungarians have already received the jab. Hungary has also agreed to purchase 2 million doses of Russia's Sputnik V, or 5 coronavirus vaccine, which hospitals began administering in Budapest last week. In sports, the Bombs of the senior men's national basketball team off to Puerto Rico with one goal in mind: finish off the FIBA AmeriCup 2022 qualifiers with a spot in the top 12. We'll play in the regional final in September of 2022. To do that, Bahamas must earn at least a split against the United States and Puerto Rico this weekend. The country will play the United States this Friday and Puerto Rico on Saturday. Both games are set for the Roberto Clemente Coliseum in San Juan, Puerto Rico. You can read more about the team in today's Guardian Sports section. Algernon Cargill will continue to lead the Bahamas Aquatics Federation. He's elected to office for the next 4 years after he was not challenged for the position at their annual general meeting. Cargill has been at the helm since 2003 as the Federation doubled in growth from 6 clubs to 12 over the past 18 years. As for the elections on Saturday, there are some familiar faces and also some new persons who will lead the Swimming Federation for the next 4 years. Read all about that in today's Guardian Sports section as well. Overseas, from the Australian Open tennis, Serena Williams not pleased with the way her play suddenly was slipping in the Australian Open quarterfinals after one mistake against number 2 seed Simona Halep, who won the last time they played each other. Williams pointed at her racket strings and made a sour face as if to indicate it wasn't her fault. After another, Williams looked up at her guest box with palms up and asked, "What is happening?" The dismay didn't last long, though. Williams recalibrated her shots with the help of terrific footwork, overcoming 33 unforced errors and claiming the last 5 games, beating Halep 6-3, 6-3 Tuesday to return to the Final Four at Melbourne Park for the first time since she won the tournament in 2017. That was her most recent Grand Slam title. She set up a showdown against number 3, fellow American Naomi, well, sorry, that's Japanese, number 3, Naomi Osaka, a 3-time slam champ who will carry a 19-match winning streak into Thursday's semifinals. That's sports, and that's the overnight. Time for your first look at weather. In your weather for today, we've got high pressure that continues to sit across the islands while a cold front will move just north of the area. Mariners should be alert for possible waterspout activity in the extreme northwest Bahamas. Beachgoers should be alert for the risk of rip currents at all easterly beaches. For today, for the northwest Bahamas, we're expecting cloudy and breezy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwestern islands. That's going to continue through tonight. Partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers over the remainder of the area, becoming fair and cool with isolated showers tonight. For boaters, a small craft advisory is in effect through the afternoon. Winds south-southeast to south-southwest at 15 to 25 knots, falling 10 to 15 knots this evening. Seas 5 to 8 feet, but subsiding to 3 to 5 feet by this evening. For the central and southeast Bahamas today, partly sunny, warm, and a bit breezy, with isolated showers, becoming fair and mild tonight with passing showers. A small craft advisory continues. Winds east to southeast at 20 to 25 knots, seas 5 to 8 feet. Temperature-wise, today we're looking at highs getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 73 Fahrenheit, 23 Celsius. That's your first look at weather this morning. We'll have your extended outlook coming up after traffic a little bit later.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way.
It's time for a break, but when we come back, we're discussing the day's top stories right here on Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9, your home for fresh news and smart talk all day.
Wake up, it's a new day.
Technology serves to make our lives better, so why not your business too? At Custom Computers, we've been maintaining our knowledge and relationships with top tech companies since 1987 and carry only the most trusted brands like Apple, Microsoft, HP, and more. No company has helped more businesses build reliable IT systems than Custom Computers. You name it, we've done it. Call 396-1101 to talk to any of our business experts. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Morning Blend Business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector.
Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning Blend Business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Digital banking online, RBC.
RBC banking online, pay your bills anytime.
RBC Digital Banking is so easy. Granny and Grandad can do it. Sign up for online banking or download the RBC Caribbean app.
With RBC,
it's safe and easy. Send your money hassle-free.
RBC.
Visit rbc.com/Caribbean/bank at home. RBC Royal Bank. Banking reimagined.
Guardian Media wants you to get active in 2021 and become eligible to win a two-night stay at the luxurious Comfort Suites. Gift certificates from Rose Essentials, Bahari, Sia Monet Organic Candles, Soaps, and Scents. Lunch for two at Tiki Bikini Hut, plus a round-trip ticket and cases of water from Bahama Blue. Get up, get out, and get active. Walk, jog, run, cycle, or swim on dates and times of your choosing safely anywhere in the Bahamas. Take a photo or video of you being active and log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com contest page. Click on the Guardian Media Get Active in 2021 contest link and upload your photos and videos. Invite your friends and family to vote on your entry for your chance to win fantastic prizes. Your body and mind will thank you for being active. Guardian Media is working to help make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Promotion ends February 26th. Winners will be announced March 5th.
Your home is where your heart is, but it's more than just shelter. Your home is your workplace. Your home is school for your kids. Your home is even your happy place where you play. Get the best internet connection wherever you are with blazing fast speeds up to 300 megabits per second for as low as $99.99 and installation within 48 hours. Sign up for any of our fiber packages today and get a chance to win a free tablet in your second month. Call or WhatsApp 577-SHOP or 424-SHOP and sign up today. Conditions apply.
Wake up,
today. Wake up, it's a new day. It's the start of the start of a new way. You know that this is the start of the end of the old way. Wake up.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. Once again, I am Dwight Strawn. Joining me now, Don Sargent. Good morning, Don.
Morning, Dwight.
Great to have you with us, as always.
Yes, it's great to still be alive.
Hope you're doing well.
Sorry, I didn't get that last part.
I said, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, yes. Just, you know, waiting for the vaccine.
Oh. Well, very good.
When's that coming along anyway?
Soon. You'll be one of the first in the line, I take it.
Yes,
wonderful.
I would like to travel again and get on with my life.
Great. We will follow you. We'll follow you and follow your progress and development.
I will lead the crowd like mm-hmm. Moses. mm-hmm.
Cannot wait.
I don't know, but I'm still looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've been reading good things.
That's great. And can't wait to see what the campaign to promote it is going to be like. I'm sure that's going to be quite special.
If the government does it, probably a disaster. Mm-hmm. But Let's hope it's good.
No. It's going to be mind blowing.
Yes, everything else. It's going to be stellar.
It's going to be wonderful. So looking forward to it. We have a great conversation today, as you can tell. You can join the conversation as well on Twitter, at MorningBlend969, or Facebook, facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Email us, MorningBlend@NASCAR.com. Or you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, powered by BTC, 422-GR96, 422-4796, standard text rates apply. Coming up this morning, more weather and traffic, and of course, morning business report now in Morning Blend Business at 9 a.m. And in our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to start a conversation with the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union. We've been talking about taxis for a long time on the show, and we've been meaning to have the taxi union on the show for a long time. Finally, we're going to do that today and get to the bottom of this and see what he has to say about what our views are on how taxis should work and why it can't be like that. We're going to get deep into it today. That'll extend into our 8 o'clock hour. And later, as we said, in Morning Blend Business, we'll be talking about the real estate sector in the country. Right now, though, it is time to talk about what's in the news. And in the news for the hotel sector, the hits just keep on coming. 300 workers now expected to be out of work for at least 2 years as the Melia Nassau Beach Resort announcing yesterday will be closed for that time to begin a major renovation, a $100 million renovation. For more on this, take a listen to this report from our Kyle Joaquin.
With the construction of Bahamas Water Park taking place right next door, there is a $100 million renovation set to take place at the Melia Nassau Beach Resort. However, it's the two-year closure that has left many employees heartbroken.
Right now, it's very unfortunate news, and I feel for those employees.
In a letter to employees, Melia General Manager Daniel Lozano said as the global travel industry continues to evolve, a decision was made to cease operations at the hotel for 24 months beginning March 1st. Lozano said, "The toughest part of our decision relates to those whom this decision impacts, which is you, our Melia family." Melia's GM continued expressing gratitude to employees who have been patient over the past 12 months, speaking to the possibility of employees being re-engaged. He said, "Upon the resort's reopening, current Melia associates will be invited to apply and will be given every consideration and opportunity for employment."
Their intention was to do it piece. Obviously, if there were guests in the hotel, the best way to do it is to have one half of the hotel generating revenue while the other half is under renovation, and then to switch over and do that. And they just felt it was more cost effective, given the fact that we are in this period of low occupancy, to shutter that hotel and to undergo a redevelopment of that hotel.
Melia and Bahamar share the same owners. Bahamar President Graham Davis also releasing a statement explaining the $100 million renovation will create more job opportunities for Bahamians. He said as construction commences, the renovation will also create approximately 150 new employment opportunities for Bahamians through the renovation. Upon the resort's opening in 2023, significant new employment opportunities will be created at the new resort. The renovation includes upgrades to Melia's 694 guest rooms, restaurants, and outdoor areas, among others, with reopening set for 2023. Diagler says with countries like Canada still under lockdown, there's a long road ahead for the Bahamas' tourism product. He says key to that rebound is ensuring Bahamians, especially those working in tourism, get vaccinated.
We know that we have to do our healthcare workers and our uniform branches, but you know the next group after that hopefully will be our tourism workers to get the economy going, to get people back to work.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Kyle Joaquin.
300 people. 2 years. That's on top of already about a year they've lost. So, wow. Wow. More on this. As you heard, Kyle speaking the report there, general manager sending out a message to employees. Again, Daniel Lozano saying, quote, "The toughest part of our decision relates to those whom this decision impacts, which is you, our Melia family. We're wholeheartedly thankful to you. Who've been with us on this long and difficult journey, and We commend your strength, contributions, and perseverance through the past 12 months. We look forward to the day when we unveil a new resort to distinguished and valued guests from all over the world, furthering the long-term economic health and prosperity of the Bahamas. Bahamar's President Graham Davis saying again that as construction commences, the renovations will also create approximately 50 new employment opportunities for Bahamians through the renovation. Upon the resort's opening, significant new employment opportunities will be created at the new resort. But as Diagner says, this is like a kick in the gut. It's gut-wrenching, and my goodness. But this is what people have been saying. Use this time of uncertainty, to fix the things that were challenged before the pandemic, so that when we get back to normal, that we will be in a much better place than we were before. We wish we could say that about downtown and many other places. The potholes are getting worse. Have you noticed that? What's happening? Is it just me? More potholes than even in the rainy season? What's happening? But fix these things while you can before hopefully things get back and people start coming back. But 2 years, that seems like a very long time. What?
I don't think there's any bright spot in this story.
Yeah.
At all. I just can't see any. Most of the people aren't going to wait 2 years. Any opportunity that obviously comes along, they're going to jump on immediately.
As they should.
Yes, absolutely. But I don't know. I don't think it's a sticky situation. It's just all around just a terrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposedly expected with these vaccines, especially in the United States, the travel and stuff to pick back up in the second half of this year. I wonder what's the impact this is going to be on in terms of available rooms and such. But then I also can't predict what will happen, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months. Even if, like, the United States follows the example of countries like Israel, right, where they reach high vaccination numbers, and the amount of horrible cases of coronavirus in terms of persons being hospitalized or approaching critical condition is basically sank tremendously. So it's very positive news there, but it's still unclear of how that's going to translate to basically tourism numbers. And it's looking at the situation happening with also the massive spend the United States is about to do for stimulus. That's also something that's a bright spot as well. But, you know, this hearing news like this isn't always good. I understand why the hotel would want to do it. I understand why they would think that would be a pretty good time to do it. It kind of does make sense, but at the same time, it just sucks, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, 9 months makes sense. 12 months, but 24.
Yeah.
24.
2 years sounds like a professional death sentence for someone who works in the industry. So, yeah, they're definitely. I think if any opportunity comes along, they should just absolutely just jump on a bandwagon someplace else.
Yeah.
If Malia opens up, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. Boy. And, you know, that one's surprising. But this one, of course, comes as no surprise. This will make people angry. Government bracing for loss from Grand Lucayan deal. Really now? Okay. Mark Kyle Joaquin also writing this story. The government will incur a loss after the sale of the Grand Lucayan is complete, according to the Minister of Tourism and Aviation, Dionne C. Diagler. I think some babies also said this a couple years ago, that they will see losses. Snails, pet rocks, were predicting this one as well. When asked whether there will be a loss, Diagler responded, quote, "Most definitely, we will be incurring a loss on this project. There's no doubt about it. But it was created in our minds by things that were only controlled by God, and we have nothing to do with that." He continued, quote, "We tried the best we can, and God intervened with weather events and national pandemics, and it really impacted the outcome. So I can look people in the eye in Grand Bahama and say, quote, you know what? I tried my hardest. Minister Kwesi Thompson gave it his all. We fought as hard as we could, and it's just the events that we had no control over have really brought about the outcome that we are going to see. Well, what's what? What is this is going to be worse than we were? Okay. He goes on to say, quote, so we'll wait to, for it to be completely finalized, and then we will reveal it to the behavior people in due course. Brace yourselves, behavior people. This type of talk is going to mean, what are they getting, pennies? Are they going to get pennies for the hotel? Because this is kind of, Wow. The government purchased the shuttered Grand Lucayan in Freeport for $65 million in August 2018. Last March, the government signed a heads of agreement for the sale of the resort to Holistica, a joint company of Royal Caribbean International and the ITM Group, to redevelop the property and construct a new cruise port. At the time, officials said the buying price for the resort was $50 million, and that after concessions and insurance proceeds, the deal ended up being even to the $65 million the government paid to purchase the resort. The tourism minister at the time called it a pretty amazing deal. Now, last week, Prime Minister Minnis said the professionals are reviewing the terms of the agreement, and that what the government may have gotten pre-COVID is not necessarily what it was going to be able to get post-COVID for the Grand Lucayan. D'Agler said the consulting arm of KPMG came in and, quote, looked over the transaction to see whether things could be tightened up or if there was anything glaringly that was missed. He said, quote, no one could have foreseen the coronavirus descending upon us and really shutting down the world as it relates to tourism. So this has understandably impacted this project. The principals of this project are involved in the cruise ship industry, and the cruise industry is at a dead stop. But what I find amazing is that they're still interested, and they're still coming to the table, and they're still talking. Do we have the same deal that we once had? Probably not. Is it as good as it once was back in March? Probably not. But we understand why it's important for us to get this property operationalized. I think we're very close. I know we've been saying that for quite some time, but I really think that we've genuinely hashed out everything that we can hash out. We've given it all that we can give. We've given it our blood, sweat, toil, and tears to try to get some sort of deal. I think we're there. Does it make everyone happy? Probably not. Oh, my God. Wow. But understand the environment. This is a tourism project in a country that depends mostly on tourism in the middle of a once-in-a-century pandemic. So this doesn't really strengthen your negotiating arm. Oh, my goodness gracious. It just makes it a difficult project to complete because the situation, at least as it relates to COVID, has been getting worse. Now we see it beginning to turn. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think that that's what's a good way of saying this? That sounds like a conversation your dad probably has with you when he says, yeah, remember that thing I promised you for that vacation? Yeah, I got fired from my job, so, you know, it's not going to happen. It does sound itself for bad news.
And it also sounds like, son, we have to leave town. We have to move because if the house is getting taken.
Yeah, we got to move around the corner to my second family. Yeah. This isn't going to work out with this mortgage.
Right.
Your mom is a bit mad.
We're going to have to live in the station wagon for about 6 months.
Well, the divorced dad that, like, right. The fridge doesn't work. And he has a screwdriver to open up the fridge door. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, though, Dwight. I'm really not. I expected it to be at a loss before COVID because what's a polite way of saying this? Being politically correct, I didn't agree with the deal from the beginning. I understood the desire, you know, for the situation in Freeport. I perfectly understood the rationale for it. Didn't necessarily agree, but it is what it is. Now I'm hearing this where Diego is kind of saying, suck it up, buttercup, it's going to happen. I think we'd be, it sounds like the government's about to take about $25 to $20 million for this hotel.
You wish. You
think they're not even going to take that much?
I mean, my goodness. It sounds like one of those, we'll give you $3 for it.
Oh, it sounds like BTC then. Just
fire sale. Yeah. It doesn't sound good at all. Let's get your views. The phone lines are lit up, so I guess everyone knows the number. Anyway, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us, 422-4796. What do you make of all of these things happening in the hotel sector? Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Mr. Strawn, how are you doing, sir?
Hi, good morning.
You and your guest, Mr. Strawn. Three quick points, right? You remember when, I wonder what John Pendergast, not John Pendergast, John Post said this morning, but unemployment. Now, Mr. Strawn, the bigger picture is right. You remember when the hotel workers was crying to get their money to pay their bills? The economic government cost us. Why they change the law or amend the law to allow these hotels to play games with people's livelihood? Right now, them people familiar, they might even get their money. So you see what these people cost in this country?
I don't think Mia is under that union. But anyway, okay.
I'm trying to say this. The government amend the law to disenfranchise families from getting their money. No, right now, this whole legacy, they ain't getting money. All kinds of pushes. These people losing their house. All kinds of things happening. Number two.
It's a different situation. But anyway, go on. It is very different. These people will be unemployed officially, and no doubt about it. And that, yeah.
Mr. Strawn, some people already lose their house, okay? You know it, right?
Okay.
You know it, right?
Okay.
Just be careful. Anybody can see us coming along. Anybody can see us coming along the road, you know. We can see us long time coming.
Yeah, that's what happens in pandemics. Things get
Mr. Strawn,
disrupted.
I'm trying to say this. The government, there are a lot of people getting money, okay? If you wait to guide right now, and you feel you want your money, don't amend the law to protect no radio station. I wrong, right?
The situation here is very different from the situation at Atlantis.
Mr. Strawn.
You're going to keep saying the same thing over and over. Okay. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Strawn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, man. Hey, Don. How's it going? On
yeah, he can hear you. Don.
Okay.
Here's something
outside of the box consideration. Mm-hmm. And at the risk of sounding like a conspiracy theorist, I would ask that the Department of Labor and the Immigration Department pay very close attention to the happenings that follow this announcement, because fairly recently, another property, a union property, announced that they were closing their doors for 2 years. For this couple hall and renovations to be done in the Western community. I won't call its name on your radio station. Only to reopen months later, bringing other individuals with the prerequisite that they agree not to join a union. Mm-hmm. I say about the Department of Labor and the Immigration Department because they're fully aware of who are on work permits at these properties. If the other properties absorb them, because Malia is just under the umbrella of Bahama.
Yep.
But I hope that this is not a ploy, because a lot of these folks have these tactics now and they play games to get rid, obviously, with I'm a thing, and it's the same case with Malia, but it certainly happened at another property. So I ask that the Department of Labor and Immigration, at the same time you're preparing to separate yourselves from the humans on these jobs, ensure that anybody holding work permits that were brought into work at these places, that preparations are being made for them to leave the country as well.
Very interesting. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Wow.
It sounds like a potential case of union busting with the property that he's talking about, which that never bodes well. But, that is something to look out for.
Yeah. Here's another call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Caller, good morning. Nope, let's take that other line. Good morning, caller. You are on Morning Blend.
Good morning, Dwight.
Hi.
Good morning, Dawn.
Morning.
Good morning, Bob. Dwight, I am going to try to make my point today. See, I believe a solution.
Yep, go on.
Good morning, Dwight.
Yep, turn on your radio for us.
Yeah. I am a person believing in solutions. You see, like I tell you a long time, in the tourist coming country, to have a 2023, 2024. Being people got to understand these things. We had COVID. We had I'm not trying to make no excuses, though. What is going to happen in this country for the next 2-3 years is capital infrastructure. Anybody who working in the engineering department, all these hotels, plumbers, electricians, technicians, and that, go in the field, man. You know, when hotel open up, you all will be called back. I hope. Who could cook? Go and the government lending money for small loans, learn to cook your food and compete with the Chinese and other people. So I like going on. See, we need to stop depending on government. See, I hope both governments, PLBs and FM, learn some sense. Mr. Kwesi was right with the Bamzi. We need to start spending $500 million on important food that we can go eating in this country. We need to put some more money in Bamzi. You know, with the people at the hotel, right, I'm really sorry. Right, and this is why I keep saying our negotiators that week. The Bahamas is the only country in the world I see people come get concessions for 20 years. They ain't paying no tax. They ain't paying and tax after that, right? Where is money supposed to be coming from? They have to be making a lot of sense when you're saying income tax, corporate tax, no. Yes, I'm going to leave and go. Other people coming in, right? See, we need to start just focusing on the Bahamas and the Bahamas people, you know. Every country who stands right now in the world, just look around for the people to know. The Americans ain't worried about the Bahamas. The Chinese, the Haitians, they know them worried about us, you know. We need people in the parliament who are going to go for Bahamas and who are going to pass the laws of the desert. And thank you, my God, my brother.
Mm. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's read some of your text messages here. The long-term solution out of COVID is vaccination. It won't just weigh. Cayman and Turks have begun their programs. Will we be left behind due to our simple mindset? I don't know what you're talking about, but the vaccine is on its way.
In the case of Cayman, they had prior to the pandemic a pretty massive budget surplus compared to us, of course. It's not necessarily apples to apples, because remember, we've been running deficits for 30 years, 20 years.
The vaccine will be here soon enough, and the thing will be to convince people to take it. So I don't know what the texter is talking about, right? So we need to work on getting our people to take the vaccine, which is going to be an uphill battle, very difficult. This person here, I appreciate Mr. D'Aguilar's honesty concerning this deal. Yes, it's very, very frank words. You should offer a prize for the person that guesses the price correctly on the deal. Oh, okay. That's very interesting. Yeah, we should do that.
I say $25 million.
What? This texter says, I say $15 million. Okay. maybe we should. What can we offer? A hotel on Grand Bahama. If you get it, right? We'll offer you a hotel on Grand Bahama. I don't know. We'll work that out. But that's a great idea. We should do that. What do you think the deal will be? I say,
what do you think, Dwight?
Thousands. It'll be a miracle if they get a million. the way he's talking is like we just had to give it to them.
He does sound like he lost the divorce settlement,
right?
And like it's all gonna go downhill from here.
I'll see you once a year, Johnny. Okay. this one here, Dwight, the minister said before COVID, the hotel deal would have been a bad deal. Not though the minister didn't say that. He said it was a great deal, but the chairman of the special purpose vehicle said it was a bad deal. So imagine now. Anyway, bad deal now. After COVID, he's saying it would be a bad deal. How much worse could this deal get? Yeah. Years ago, our government bought failing hotels in the name of helping Bahamians to keep their jobs, and now, almost 50 years later, we are doing the same thing, expecting a different result. This is insane. Jesus or the IMF, please take the wheel of this country. The IMF, okay. This one says, I bet the great Chinese people will get that hotel back for free. What is worse, our government will plead to an investor to take it off their hand. That's what I believe is happening. This one says, I'm tired of this no one could have foreseen nonsense. Sure, no one could have foreseen COVID, that COVID will destroy the tourism industry in 2020, but sure as heck someone could have seen an event could have had a devastating effect on our number one economy. Why? Because we went into this administration having seen Hurricane Irma devastate our ABC Island neighbors. We need different people doing the thinking, Dwight. God, please, different people. Not just those islands, these islands right here in the Bahamas, we had back-to-back hurricanes, Matthew and Irma as well.
Dorian.
And then Dorian. Been hit. There's been a disaster. Last year we were spared hurricanes, but of course we had Hurricane COVID. So every year something happens, and that is why people were saying, be careful with this hotel because something could happen. It may not work out the way you think, but they kept saying there was tons of interest. Remember that? Tons of interest in it. When we get it, we know they were hoping to save some jobs and save some people and save some livelihoods as opposed to having the hotel just sit there and rot like another hotel on Grand Bahama. But This is really, really unbelievable. Another one here. Minnis bought a hotel to save people's jobs, unlike the corrupt PLP spending $30 million on Star Academy. On what now? What? Who? Okay. Wow. We did not get swing with the hotel, and Freeport will get tossed with the hotel in Freeport. What? What? Okay. I say $25 million. I'll sponsor dinner for two at Mahogany House, Dwight, to the correct figure. Oh, okay. I'm going to save your number. Hold you to that one.
We're both saying the same number.
$25 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. Y'all, it's going to be very shocking.
Me too, hopefully.
You heard what he said? Not everyone will be happy. That means no one will be happy. No one will be happy. Not everyone means no one. Who will be happy? Oh, Holistica. Yes. We swing them again, eh? Okay. Let's take these calls, and then we've got to take a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
And Dwight.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Am I allowed to talk?
Of course. I thought you were boycotting us, DeWitt.
Well, happy New Year to you and to Mr. Dawn. Let me ask you a question, Mr.
Welcome
Dawn.
Back.
Honest question. From last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been talking about this hotel deal. You've been talking with, like, you have like five different guests the whole week. Every week you've been talking about this from last year. Callers been calling. Text has been calling. Texting. Why is it that we end back up to the same road, what everyone was saying? I can say like 90% of people were saying to avoid going through with this deal. They're talking about saving jobs in Grand Bahama. Dwight, I am from Grand Bahama, right? Most of the people wanted to get payout so that, you know, they could just, you know, start something on their own or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But the government refused not to do it. And now we in this predicament. But the funniest part about it, Mr. Strawn, is that, you know, most of these members of parliament or cabinet ministers key positions are business people. And I'm trying to figure out, Mr. Deigler owns all of those wash houses. Do you think he going into any bad deal where he ain't going to get back something or he ain't going to get a whopping profit back? Come on, brother, man.
Well,
you need better people to negotiate on behalf of the people. And Grand Bahama is suffering. Grand Bahama is suffering. Nobody from Grand Bahama can call you this morning and tell you things in Grand Bahama is just a little bit good. Not even good, just a little bit good. And I want people to understand, right? You know, when I listen to people every day, Mr. Strawn, on talk shows and calling and talking just about the FNM and the PLP, the DNA, the FNM, the PLP, you know, we need to stop this behemoth, people. Y'all, this morning, y'all wake up and come to reality. Come to react. All our human, we all are bohemians in this country. You know, when I listen to persons like JJ, I don't mean them to support the same political preference to say, right? But I respect what he's be saying, man. Bohemian people, come out of this political web. This is the only way this country is going to succeed. If this ain't about the FNM or the PLP or the DNA, whoever trying. It's about us living in our country to try help our brothers and sisters to make it more better. Have a good day, Mr. Strawn.
Okay, you too. Thank you very much. And we'll take this final call. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. Are you there? No? Okay, let's read these messages and then we'll take the break. This person says, where is the plan from the Prime Minister and his team for moving out of COVID? Where is the opposition plan? We are not planning at all. No, it looks like we're waiting to see.
I suffer when people say that because you got to remember, too, if they say in their plan, the vaccine is a key part. People are going to get upset and say, I don't want to take the vaccine. Government can't be doing this to us. And it's like, the reality is, out of this situation economically, is the vaccine. I know people don't want to hear that. I know there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there, but let's just talk facts about it. That's reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing that play out more and more across the world, like countries, especially like Qatar and Israel, where I wouldn't say they're getting back the sense of normalcy just yet, but they're definitely taking a speed train in that direction now with inoculation rates, I think, above, and Israel's above 90%. And I think Qatar is going to be a close second behind them. So it is something you're going to have to think about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still think they should release their plans. Let us know what are we going to be doing over the next 12 months, right? What do you hope to do? It's a lot of wait and see. Well, we hope the tourism sector will pick up in the second half of the year or whatever. And like, okay, so what if that doesn't happen? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Let's look at it. Do two scenarios. Plan A, plan B. If this doesn't work out, well, this is what we're going to do, right? We're not hearing any of that. So it's very worrisome. All right, we're going to take the break and be back with more on this, and we'll talk about what else is in the news on this Tuesday morning. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is what we're asking. Just how low will this deal go? How much little money will we get? Think about it. I like it when I see you do it better than I've ever seen it done before. A lot of women drop it to the ground, but how low can you go? Lower than your mama's ever seen it in a lifetime. Never would have imagined it, not even in her right mind. Practice in front of that mirror, now you doing it on the dance floor. Mad cause I can't get with your chick, just show me how to dance. I may not wanna get low, so I'm posted up kinda like a player do. But if you come to the crib, then I might show you girls a thing or two. Yeah, I think you a superstar with an act like that. Before you make it big, there's just one thing that I gotta do.
This is Bio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. Today in Texas,
things will likely get worse before they get better.
Judge Linda Hidalgo in Houston is talking about the snow, ice, and cold. At least two deaths are being blamed on the cold in Texas. About 4 million homes are without power. Three deaths are reported along the coast of North Carolina from a tornado overnight in the Wilmington area. This is an area used to getting hurricanes. Bob Orovec is at the National Weather Service.
There has been a lot of thunderstorm activity, especially overnight. Monday night into early Tuesday across the Carolinas and actually stretching southward into central Florida.
The Brunswick County Emergency Management said people were trapped in their homes. The number of coronavirus cases around the world is dropping.
The number of reported COVID-19 cases has now declined for 5 consecutive weeks.
So far this year, the number of weekly reported cases has fallen by almost half.
World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
Simple public health measures work. Even of variants.
And just one reason for optimism.
Today, WHO gave emergency use listing to two versions of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, giving the green light for these vaccines to be rolled out globally.
It's only the second vaccine given emergency authorization by the WHO. One concern, its effectiveness against the South African variant of the virus. I'm Ben Thomas.
President Biden is facing mounting pressure at the border. Thousands of people are waiting to claim asylum, and more come each day, falsely believing they will be able to enter the U.S. now that former President Donald Trump is out of office. Police in Myanmar have filed a new charge against ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi, which may also allow her to be held indefinitely without trial. Iran State TV says Iranian and Russian militaries have kicked off a joint naval drill in the Indian Ocean. This is AP News. A public memorial was held in New York City for Cicely Tyson.
They came from nearby, where Cicely Tyson was born.
I was born and raised in Harlem, and so to be here, and would it be in Black History Month as well? It's the best.
Some came from much further away, where she made a name for herself as a stage screen and TV performer.
I flew all the way from Los Angeles, California, just to be here for this moment.
The line was a block long as people paid respects to Tyson, who died late last month at age 96. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
Today is Mardi Gras in New Orleans and elsewhere. In New Orleans, no big parties, no parades because of the virus. Instead of parades, people have decorated their homes like Mardi Gras floats. Diego Rose lives in New Orleans.
It's a classic New Orleans move, you know, when you're knocked down, you get up and figure out a way to use creativity to make it a fun experience.
Coronavirus restrictions are limiting access to Bourbon Street. Ed Donahue, AP News.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
It's 7:28, the time for your Morning Glen traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. Here's what we're seeing in your real-time traffic at this hour. The traffic is building on Smile Little Highway. That's northbound lanes heading towards Tony Coombs, Darling Highway. You're going to see that just north of Fire Trail now. Glassboro looking slightly better for you, but as you get closer to JFK Drive, you'll see the traffic building there as well. Elsewhere, we are not looking so bad, just at some of the intersections. Major intersections like Prince Charles and Beatrice Avenue, and building traffic on Fox Hill Road heading towards the intersection with Prince Charles Drive right now. Elsewhere, not looking so bad so far, but we'll have another real-time report for you in just under an hour. That's your Morning Blend Traffic Alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. And it's time for another check of your weather for today, brought to you by Rev. Here's what's happening. High pressure continues to sit just across the islands while the cold front's going to make a move, but try to get close to the northern, extreme northern Bahamas. Mariners should be alert for possible waterspout activity in the extreme northwest Bahamas. Beachgoers should remain on alert for rip currents at easterly beaches. For the northwest Bahamas today, look for cloudy and breezy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwestern islands through tonight. Partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers over the remainder of the area, becoming fair and cool with isolated showers tonight. Small craft advisory is in effect through the afternoon. For the central and southeast Bahamas today, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers, becoming fair and mild tonight with passing showers. The small craft advisory continues. It's 76 degrees already right now, partly cloudy skies in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 84 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 73 Fahrenheit, 23 Celsius. In your extended outlook, that cold front will become stationary within the vicinity of the northwest Bahamas. Not quite getting through, but lifting north by tomorrow evening. High pressure will build over the area for Wednesday. So, for tomorrow, look for cloudy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwest Bahamas. Partly sunny and warm with isolated showers over the rest of the country. Thursday, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with a quick passing shower over all areas. We're going to maintain these warm conditions for the remainder of the week until a cold front moves through by Saturday, bringing much cooler temperatures for the weekend and into the start of next week. That's your Morning Blend weather check brought to you by Rev. Visit rev.bs/imagine to join the conversation about the future of Rev TV and take a very important survey about what you think the future of Rev TV should look like. Rev, you and us together. Messages here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Your home is where your heart is, but it's more than just shelter. Your home is your workplace. Your home is school for your kids. Your home is even your happy place where you play. Get the best internet connection wherever you are with blazing fast speeds up to 300 megabits per second for as low as $99.99 and installation within 48 hours. Sign up for any of our fiber packages today and get a chance to win a free tablet in your second month. Call or WhatsApp 577-SHOP or 424-SHOP and sign up today. Conditions apply.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank, you want.
Stay a step ahead of technology with certainty and support from Custom Computers. Our know-how team is here to help you zero in on your next big tech purchase, finding solutions that take your productivity to the next level using only the best and most reliable brands. With 4 stores all across Nassau on East Bay, West Bay, Old Fort Bay, and Palmdale, there's no stopping you from stepping up your tech. Reach out to us at 396-1100. Find trust in your tech. Count on Custom Computers.
Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Street, has those hard-to-find fasteners for you right now. You can find stainless steel regular hex, carriage bolts, galvanized bolts, threaded rods, nails, self-tap screws, sex bolts, anchor bolts, turnbuckles, masonry tools, hand tools, and weed whacker strings. Check out the rope selection and car body fasteners, too. Special orders are welcome. It's your number one fastener store. Screws and Fasteners World, Balfour Avenue and Palm Beach Streets. Call 326-1976.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My talk all day.
Tell me if you with it, cause I'm with it, babe. I haven't heard from you and I'm in it, babe. Just tell me what to do and I get it, babe. Gucci and Prada.
Trip to your crib in the middle of the night. I don't let you miss me as I put it down right now, babe. I can put you on a flight. You know that a nigga like me can change your life, oh, babe. Everything you do is amazing. Ain't nobody got to go crazy. I got what you need. Everybody think you shy, but I know you.
We're back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn along with Don Sargent. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union about the taxi concerns of the taxi cab drivers and just the industry in general. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We continue now with what's in the news, and we'll take that call in just a second. This texter here saying, go back to that previous caller's point, union busting, yes, yet foreign workers are safe. Is that what's happening? We've heard the stories. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Tweet us, Facebook us, text us. 422-4796. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you all.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, you know, neither of these governments have plans. You know, we haven't had a plan from the UBP days. We're still on the UBP plan that foreign investment, you know, and banking and conservatism. We're not national or liberal. You see, you're progressive.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we still UBPs. We went from racism to classism. Is what we did.
What sorts of things would you want to hear in a plan?
Well, let's look at the DNA. Kate gave a platform just the other day on another place. They gave a platform on immigration. They gave a platform on taxation. See, taxation is basic. It's principles. You know, that's the physical infrastructure of a nation. Hey, nothing can happen if you're not alive, if you don't have health. That's the health of your nation, the physical infrastructure of your nation. That's the taxation expended. See, there are a lot of uneducated people in this country who doesn't know the basics of nation building. You know, they don't. If you tell them, if you say physical, the physical infrastructure, how many of us know what that means?
Mm.
You see, when you say progressive, how much of us know what progressive means as it pertains to nation building? You know, that's socialism. That's the government working for the masses. That's not conservative. That's progressive taxation. That's income tax. That's corporate tax. Income corporate tax. When are we going to get to these things?
Mm. Yeah.
You see, and this pandemic is showing it up. You see, we don't have a plan for the pandemic. The pandemic have a plan for us.
Oh, boy. Wow. All right. Very scary. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, let's take this call, and then we want to talk about a little bit of politics. Not too much, because I know you're going to hear a lot more later. But good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Dwight. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Dwight?
Doing well.
Okay. Good morning, Dwight. How are you doing?
Morning.
Well, I know you're always in the lake. I hope you're doing well, Don. Good morning to the nation. That's right. That last caller who called the show was talking absolute nonsense. Garbage to the highest order. What kind of nonsense did... I mean, and why would you even accept that nonsense from that caller, Dwight?
Yeah, there's merit. There's definitely merit.
We are on a UBP plan. What kind of garbage is he talking? Is he serious? Is he that...
He's saying the model of the direction of the country hasn't changed since that time.
Dwight, are you kidding me now? We have an educated Bahamian country. We have a middle class in this country. We have an institution in this country that's focusing on, or but that's supposed to focus on the further development of agriculture, the further development of technology in this country, the further development of tourism in this country, the further development of education, and education being the key to open up all the aspects to whatever opportunities would be available in this country. We are nowhere near on that model of UBP. People like that need to bury themselves in the sand and don't come out until after the election.
I don't know, Anton.
If they're going to talk that nonsense.
What do you mean
you don't know, Dwight? I think he
has some serious points. I think he really does. There have been very...
Dwight, we have a central bank in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a regulator for our banking industry. We have financial services in this country, Dwight. Are you kidding me?
That's a positive sign in this country. I think you're looking at it on the surface. Go deeper in what he's saying and seriously look at what he's talking about.
The only thing that hasn't changed in this country to the extent that it needs to change, because the dial has been moved forward. The only thing that hasn't changed is economic majority rule to the level that is required in order to free up Bahamians in terms of recognizing and realizing,
and that's huge
opportunities.
That is huge. That is massive.
I'm not disagreeing. It is massive, but a lot of work has begun towards accomplishing that cause.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, we have not fully attained that cause. But if I may just make a comment to what's happening in the news today that you were discussing, as it relates to what's going on with the Malia resort.
Yeah.
Dwight, I don't, in all honesty, someone, you would have to literally be brain dead in this country to expect anything good to come out based on how this government has been governing. And that is the statement of fact. Based on how this government has negotiated all of the deals that it has entered into, based on the secrecy behind the deals that it has entered, based on the people who have been prepared to come out front and tell us the truth, who they have moved from these specially placed positions so that they can no longer talk on what the government is doing, based on all of the hideous actions of this government in Parliament and outside of Parliament, whether it be the Prime Minister misleading the nation, the Prime Minister misleading Parliament, whether it be Cabinet ministers doing this thing. You cannot expect any better from this government. That's why the only thing left to do is to run these dudes out of our Parliament by voting them out come election 2021. Because there's no way these guys can survive another budget. Dwight, we are with $700-800 million beyond what the Parliament approved in its last fiscal budget exercise. And we cannot see where this money has gone. We have no development to show. We have no infrastructural advancement to show. We have no stability in our country to show. We have the worst highest unemployment in the history of our country.
Yeah, Anton, you're doing this again, right? I mean, come on. What am I doing again? You know what's been happening here. They've had to borrow money to pay salaries to go and support people who've been laid off from private.
You know what? I heard you and Palm talk about this the other day, Dwight, right? And I have one more point on something that you all talked about.
You've got to make it quick. We've got a lot of calls coming in.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Dwight, salaries were secured in the fiscal budget 2021, okay? That has nothing to do with the additional $700-800 million that the government has borrowed. The salaries for the staff of the government has been secured in that $1.2 billion that was approved in Parliament. Now, the final point that I want to make. The financial secretary misled the country yesterday, and he did not correct Palm. As a matter of fact, he went on to Palm when he stated that there was no white paper as it relates to VAT that was implemented. A white paper was produced in 2013.
No, no, no.
By the former
minister. That's not what he said.
Michael
Akita. That's not what he said.
What did he say twice?
She asked him if at the time that we were going through VAT, did they not do a white paper on...
That was the second part. He didn't say there wasn't a white paper. I called your phone about 100 times. Couldn't get through. Just to correct that information and to try and put some sticking questions to him, because he was doing a lot of dancing and not making much sense in terms of any real economic plan that is needed right now. That was needed 10, 11 months ago from we entered into this COVID pandemic environment, because we had Dorian before then. No economic plan for Abaco, no economic plan for Grand Bahama, no economic plan for the
Well, that's just in keeping with the traditions of all the governments of the Bahamas. Where is the plan for going back decades, right? That's what we're saying, and that's what that caller was saying, right? There hasn't been a plan. We're just waiting for the right wind to blow on us to guide us in the direction to go. And that cannot continue. But I don't think you heard that right yesterday. Let's take this call very quickly. We got to go. Good morning, caller on the air. Caller, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Doing well.
Imagine berating one of your callers and then turning around and proving his point that the economic model of the Bahamas hasn't changed.
Right? What is he into?
But Dwight, you should have cut him off a long time. You can't have him. These ad hominem attacks against callers like that without proving the point. It doesn't make any sense.
But the
point that Gemma was making was, yes, the only thing we've done was add VAT. And VAT is a regressive tax that only hurts the poor people. And what did FM do? They came in and increased VAT. So unless we move away from this type of taxation, nothing's going to change this country. Mm-hmm. The economic model has not changed since the UBP. And the Gemma was right.
Yep. Thank you very much. And let's take this final call. Good morning, caller.
I was
actually
going to say the same thing.
Right? Now. I don't know what, anyway, but we have to. And I was going to say, people are. No, let me not go there. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Are you there? Okay, no.
But yeah, I was going to say that, like, things have changed, right? Like, I'm not taking away from any accomplishments. In the past, that things have been a slow march forward. I say slow for a reason, but they haven't been at the rate at which we necessarily want them to be. I don't know. It's either here or no there. But I don't think to suggest that we don't still follow the basic tenets of the Stafford Sands model is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, if you recall, Dwight, we talked about this last year too. Is when statements are made by a former deputy director of the Ministry of Tourism and some of the senior officials at the Ministry of Tourism, when Bahamians were saying over and over again that it is high time this country diversifies, or at least some other major industry other than tourism, and statements are made to the essence that not a day like it, right? That's going to be happening. Tourism ain't going nowhere. We ain't pivoting from nothing. And obviously, I didn't expect them to be able to transform anything in a short period of time. But it was just like looking at those comments, you know, how they've aged like milk in the hot sun. It's just like there is little desire even to pivot from what we've been doing this entire time.
Yeah.
Let me not say there's little desire. There seems to be little movement. As from an outside, a citizen looking in, it seems like that's falling a little bit on deaf ears, mm-hmm. although just for small businesses and stuff. I think we should have been making this transition 15 years ago to try and help these things out. You can't just fix all this in the middle of a pandemic. But that's just my opinion. I do agree with the caller before the two callers back when he said that some things in the model need to change and we haven't changed certain things. Wholeheartedly. And that's something that from the halls of academia in this country all the way down to grassroots.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let me read these messages and then we'll take the break. And this text here, Anton is talking foolishness and shows he doesn't understand how government finances work. Salaries were secured in the budget based on projected revenue intake. If funds coming into the government are reduced, then they will have to borrow to maintain paying salaries. And of course, the social assistance as well they had to do, right? It's a lot they had to borrow.
This as well, Dwight, that same point when the texter just said, we saw this as well in the Ingram administration at the height of the meltdown from the recession. Like, we had like $500 million deficits and we were borrowing to pay some salaries as well.
And and this one here, I wonder which was the worst deal, the Lucayan deal or the deal that we got in May 2017. as people suggested,
I think that case, to answer, I don't think there was any good way out of either of those deals.
Oh,
I don't think they were both dilemmas.
Well, Well, as you said, we're going to figure out what we're going to give as a prize. If you can guess the amount that we'll get, right, the in the deal with the Grand Lucayan, we will have a prize for you. So we're starting it today. Guess the number. And whoever gets closest will get something special. Maybe a stay at the Grand Lucayan. Hey! Yeah! Let's do that whenever they open. That's what we're going to try to do. Wow. We solved it. Okay. We're going to take a break. This is Morning Blend on Guardian Radio. Stay with us.
You don't need no approval. Good everywhere, don't worry about no refusal. Second to none, you got the upper hand now. Don't need a sponsor, no, you're the brand now. You're my rock, my Colorado. Got that ring, just like Toronto. Love you now, a little more tomorrow. That's how I feel, act like you know that you are.
Roaming just got easier. Say hello to more with our new Liberty. With more minutes, more texts, and more data to do the things you love right here at home and even when you travel. With the all-new Liberty Prime, Liberty Premium, and Liberty Elite, you've got one less worry. Roam again. Alive. Believe in best.
Believe in best.
RBC and Visa bring you a benefit as unique as you. To enjoy Disney Plus, get 2 months of the all-new Disney Plus streaming subscription on us if you have an RBC Visa Platinum card. Learn more by visiting www.rbc.com/Caribbean/Disney. Reimagine new ways to bank better.
Basketball is back, baby, and so is NBA League Pass, only with Rev Trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free, along with incredible prizes, including a brand new 50-inch smart TV, NBA gear, and more. With tons of prizes and gear, signing up for Trio on an off-court move this year. Just call 601-8992 or visit www.rev.bs/promotions/trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Get ready to mash this party up. It's Rick and Script full non-stop. Hey! Rick and Script. Rick and Script. D-Max style. Rick and Script. Oh, yeah. Rick and Script. I see you coming from a mile away, girl. Rick and Script. I see you coming, coming. Girl, I see you. Hey! She says she's a real good girl. She only goes to church then home. I say I'm a real good guy. Like Rick and Script, I stay in my zone. She says she don't party hard. I tell her I'm a party.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Straw along with Don Sargent. And this morning, we are very pleased to have with us, finally, we have him in studio with us, the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union, Wesley Ferguson. Good morning, sir. Great to have you with us.
Good morning,
Dwight. I know you called in last week when you heard us talking about y'all. I guess you didn't like what you heard us saying. But today, you're going to be able to explain everything, defend yourself. We have a lot to talk to you about. We want to get you to address, you've been protesting, you've got some issues, but we also have some questions and things we wonder about. Why taxis don't work the way we would hope them to work here. So we're going to talk about all of that this morning. I do want to begin, though, with what you said last week. People still talking about it. Mm-hmm. When I asked you about the prices, the rates.
Right.
And you said, I don't want to misquote you, but you said, if you can't afford a taxi, don't get a taxi. Something along those lines.
Right, right.
It was very shocking.
Yeah.
But my goodness, the rates are very high.
Yeah, well, you see, Dwight, my taxi driver, colleagues out there, you got to understand, see, the rates are set by government. It's regulated by government. So the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union have no authority to alter the rates in any which way.
Do you agree that they're too high?
No, not really. See, because we try to take it, a lot of people don't take into consideration how much money a taxi driver spends to operate. Mm-hmm. And let me just give you like a ballpark figure. The first thing, you got 80% of the taxi drivers who are leasing plates. Mm-hmm. So that's basically a big chunk of their money. Then you got to do all these government systems in. You got to do Bahama Hoax, which is about $120. You have two licenses, your regular driver's license and your public service badge. Mm-hmm. That is in excess of about $100.
Mm-hmm.
Then we pay a massive amount for insurance. Okay? We also pay the whole point when we get to the fuel station, we have no recourse or no way of negotiating the fuel prices.
Right.
okay? And then you have things like we have two inspections every year. Mm-hmm. And there's a litany of things that taxi drivers pay just to operate in this country. Then you're looking at maintenance. And then there's a lot of government fees like business license.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things, it adds to the cost of operating a taxi in this country. And taxi drivers, in most cases, operate at a loss.
So you all negotiated this rate with government then? You asked
no.
For, no?
No.
The government just decided to put these rates on us?
Just put the rates on us. And they,
wow.
The same thing they do with the taxi industry. They put things on us that we have no choice in the matter. They say if they just give it to you, either you take it or you leave it.
Wow.
And that's how the government operates.
That makes me ask a question. How's the taxi? Because it sounds like what's a better way of saying this? It's not as if there is no alternative reality where things can be cheaper. There absolutely is, right? One of the major things you said first was that most of the people who drive taxis are leasing the plates. And that seems to be a massive issue where persons, as you said last week, who have no interest in the industry also own the plates. Wouldn't a key way to reduce the cost of taxi services to Bahamians and tourists alike is to essentially abolish this whole system of persons inheriting plates, and plates should be issued to persons who have interest in the industry.
Well, yes.
Would you not agree?
Yeah, I quite agree. Because, see, that is the major issue in the country. And the other thing, the other factor to that is we need to have an independent commission that governs the taxi industry instead of government doing it themselves,
mm-hmm.
for votes or to be politically inclined to get benefits from operating these things that should be a private entity. The government is embroiled in it, so they could be, quote-unquote, the masters and not the servants.
Yes. I've also, usually the moratorium is lifted for a short period of time to essentially give rewards to certain people, allegedly.
And that was recently lifted, right? The moratorium has been lifted?
In November 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, no taxi drivers were issued any plates.
Mm-hmm. So this reform... Are we getting any closer to it? Has the government said anything about it? Where do things stand at this point?
Well, right now, we went downtown in a massive demonstration last week. And I've heard nothing from any government official.
Mm-hmm.
So we fully intend to go back down there again tomorrow until mm-hmm. they answer us.
Now, some of them were talking to you, though, right? Some cabinet ministers were talking to you, then some of the MPs at least.
Well, this just didn't happen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This was a long-standing negotiation between the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union and the Bahamas government. This stems back to 2018, October 1st, 2018. The then Minister of Transport, Renwood Wells, called a town hall meeting at the training center on Gladstone Road, on which a massive amount of taxi drivers attended and taxi owners and operators attended, and he promised us faithfully,
mm-hmm.
in 2018, that he was going to deal with the litany of complaints and issues that confronts the taxi industry every day. And to this date, we have gotten absolutely nothing.
Wow. All right. So we've got a lot of questions coming in about, you mentioned it, 80% leasing. Is that allowed? And what are the rules on inheriting a plate? Is that allowed? Is that legally allowed as well?
Well, according to the laws of the Bahamas, that is illegal.
Which part? Which one? The inheriting?
Well, not so much the inheritance as to leasing of plates.
Really?
Okay, see, the plates are basically doing the...
Did you say 80% of you are doing that?
Yeah, 80%. Yeah, 80% mm-hmm. of taxi drivers are operating illegally as it pertains to leasing. Leasing is not legal in the Bahamas. And no government have the political testicles or to address leasing, because what happened is over the years, PLPs and FNM governments have allowed this issue to fester,
mm-hmm.
and allow it to grow by giving out plates to those who are not in the business for political favors. So you have people in this who have taxi plates, who are in possession of taxi plates, and they never drove a taxi, have no intention to drive in a taxi, mm-hmm. and some of them are politicians.
Yeah.
Senior police officers, doctors, lawyers.
We had a caller last week making a claim that even permanent secretaries.
Permanent secretaries. Seriously? Road traffic controllers, no road way. Traffic officers. Everybody oh, is, yeah, has their hands.
That's true. Yeah. I know persons who fit
yeah?
into that category.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My gosh.
So the taxi drivers have nothing for themselves. They're always a slave. They're always slaving mm-hmm. for somebody who's not interested in the industry. And, it was not intended for that to be so. Mm-hmm. And that's why the laws were put in place that leasing would have been illegal. But because governments wanted political favors, they give them out like slices of cake.
So this raises the question then.
Yeah.
Is this a case where, let's say you guys could get a Queen's Counsel on this sort of case and literally take this to tax, I don't know, for judicial review or to sue somebody in a case and set a precedent? Because it doesn't sound like the solution is going to come from central government in this case at all, if this has been going on. Well, I know of this going on for, let's say, more than 15, 20 years. Has that ever been discussed? Is that anything you guys ever talked about or planned?
Taking the matter to court.
Well, to tell you the truth, taking the matter to court, in my opinion, would not, I mean, it's not really a justifiable fix, or it's not a feasible fix, because it is basically just a, you know, because everybody's afraid of losing votes.
Mm-hmm.
So then the minute they touch the taxi industry and they see how many people, how many of their friends and families and lovers are in possession of these plates, they decide to let it go.
We're going to take a break for news. We'll pick this up on the other side. Stay with us. Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com and on the Guardian Radio app for smart devices. We're also on your televisions on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and BTC Flow Channel 612. You can tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. Text us at 422-4796. And now at 8:16, it is time for your final look at weather for today. Well, final look for Morning Blend, another one coming up in Morning Blend Business. And Morning Blend weather brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. Here's what's happening. We've got high pressure that continues to sit across the islands while a cold front will move just north of the area. Mariners should be alert for possible waterspout activity in the extreme northwest Bahamas. Beachgoers should remain alert for the risk of rip currents at easterly beaches. For today, for the northwest Bahamas, look for cloudy and breezy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwestern islands through tonight. Partly sunny, warm and breezy with isolated showers over the remainder of the northwest Bahamas, becoming fair and cool tonight. A small craft advisory is in effect through this afternoon. For the central and southeast Bahamas, partly sunny, warm and breezy with isolated showers, becoming fair and mild tonight with isolated showers. The small craft advisory continues. It's 77 degrees right now in Nassau. Look for highs getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down about 73 Fahrenheit, 23 Celsius. In your extended outlook, that cold front will become stationary within the vicinity of the northwest Bahamas before lifting north by tomorrow evening. So it may bring some rain and thunderstorms for the extreme northwest Bahamas, but not impact temperature. It won't fully move through. High pressure will build over the area after that system makes its way near to the Bahamas. So for Wednesday, look for cloudy conditions with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwest Bahamas. Partly sunny and warm with isolated showers over the rest of the country. Thursday, partly sunny, warm, and breezy with a quick passing shower over all areas. We won't see a cool down until at least the weekend when another cold front will actually make its way through. That's your Morning Blend weather check brought to you by Bahamas First Insurance. What's first for you comes first for us. 8:18, the time for your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. And we are seeing the heavy traffic now. Samara Butler Highway, of course, your usual highway, all the way northbound to Tawnik Williams Darling Highway. Also, Gladstone Road. Well, Gladstone Road looking a little bit better for you this morning. Might be a better route for you somewhat in the northbound lane heading towards JFK Drive. Elsewhere, we've got Eastern Road, westbound, and Blue Hill Road, northbound, from Carmichael up to Independence Drive. Carmichael eastbound as well, seeing heavy traffic heading towards Blue Hill and Prince Charles Drive, especially Robinson Road from Soldier Road up to East-West Highway, especially between Soldier and Old Trail, the westbound lanes there. Those are some of your hot spots this morning. That's your real-time traffic and your morning blend traffic alert brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Hear that? That's the sound of your money working for you. Because at CFAL, we know you work hard. We make sure your money works hard for you. In 20 years as a leading investment firm, we've helped thousands of Bahamians grow their wealth and build a more stable future. With savings plans, pensions, and wealth services to suit everyone, whoever you are, whatever you do, we have financial solutions that will work hard for you. Visit or call us today to put your money to work. CFAL, seize your future today.
Don't let your children get left behind. Get them immunized. They need immunizations to protect them from some diseases, to get into school, and to apply for some jobs. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider to make an immunization appointment today. Protect their health and their future. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Let's prevent disease. Immunize, please. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
That's driving me mad.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strano with Don Sargent on this Tuesday morning. We continue our discussion with the president of Bahamas Taxi Cab Union, Wesley Ferguson. Before the break, you were revealing some things. Do the police know about this, about the leasing being against the law, unlawful? Or just people just like turning a blind eye, this is how it's been, and that's oh well.
Well, to tell you the truth, Dwight, it's really not a police matter.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically a political matter. All right, it's the onus is rest squarely on the shoulders of the Minister of Transport, whoever he may be at this time.
Mm-hmm. And since Reverend Wells moved to the Ministry of Health, we're having some issues.
Believing that's the case, it's kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's a very smart solution to simply just say it's a political matter and just leave it as that. Because oftentimes we find with issues where whether justice isn't being served for somebody. Or we find like the government turns a blind eye to activities of some rich billionaire. The main way to get across your points or to see change of anything is to go through legal means, if it is possible to do so. And that's why I'm wondering, like, why hasn't something that been explored in the first place? Like, this seems like a very easy case to win, if this is true, as you say.
Yeah, see, but the general public does not understand. When you look at the depth of the bench, who owns these plates. So in some cases, these are legal-minded people. Lawyers. You might even be hiring the same lawyer that owns the taxi plate. So you have no real recourse until the government just take the political fortitude or just, you know, grow the political testicles to just say, you know, come hell or high water, loss of votes or gain of votes, let's just take this to task and get this thing done. That's the only way it's going to be done.
All right, so what you're basically saying is that this has been looked at before, and that some of the very same people you think, or as you're stating here, some of the very same people that would be in such an action or a lawsuit or a case also are in on the systems. But in that case, it seems pretty clear that expecting the government to, for lack of a better term, grow testicles is not going to happen. There has to be some other means of applying pressure to see that end, because simply just trying to meet with a political leader, whether it be this prime minister, the previous one, or whoever the next one is, it doesn't seem like it's going to yield results in a timely manner whatsoever. It has to be another lever that you guys are able to pull in order to bring about any change.
Right. Well, you're quite right. And what the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union suggestion was to the government is that's why the moratorium was lifted. We forced them to lift the moratorium by persuading them that, look, issue new plates to deserving taxi drivers who are in the system. While you're doing your audit, then issue new plates and allow taxi drivers to be liberated. Then you go after those who are in the system. See, because what happens is, if you go the long way by trying to regulate, it could be a long legal battle, and then nobody wins because somebody puts some kind of injunction on the whole process, and then nobody wins because the taxi driver can't get any plates. There's no movement in the taxi industry as it pertains to issuing of new plates. So then I'm just saying, take the short route. Issue some new plates, at least about 200 or 300 of them, liberate some taxi drivers, and then go after those who are operating illegally.
So you're hoping the 80% who are leasing will get those new plates.
Right.
And then you'll deal with the other folks.
Right, for the most part. I'm, of course, I don't expect them to give 80% of taxi drivers plates, but the whole point, for the most part, liberate some taxi drivers and then start dealing with the improprieties.
And you're speaking out now for a reason at this time. You've been protesting and speaking out for a specific reason. Tell us more about that.
Right, because what the taxi union has ascertained that the we've been negotiating or wrangling with the government since 2018. Okay, the moratorium was lifted from 2019 in November. Since then, there's been no movement since then. Okay, now we realize that we're going into an election process. And you may think that taxi drivers might just be doing this because it's the election process. But no, we're doing it because this is the last opportunity that the Bahamas government, this government, will have to carefully and decisively deal with this situation. Because every year, in May of every year, that is when taxis get licensed up. Now, for instance, if the government decided to pull the trigger on issuing of new plates, they would have to do it at this time because the taxi driver is allowed 90 days after he gets a grant letter, 90 days to present a vehicle that is adapted to operate in the taxi industry, and it must not be no more than 10 years old in order for him to take that down to road traffic and present that to the controller, and then he could retrieve his plate from road traffic. I mean, after he's gone through all of the paperwork that it takes to get taxi business license and all that other stuff, so insurance and so forth. So what it means, because it's basically March, from March to May, is about 90 days. If the government made outside of that, they will have to do this and basically at a bottleneck position going into an election, and they're just going to mess it up by just trying to pick through a nitpick for votes. So we're trying to say, be transparent about it. Do it now. Give the taxi driver, because this is a pandemic. Funds are sort of tight. So give for the lead.
Yeah, but you just mentioned it. I mean, about the Minister of Transport, since Robert Wells moved to health, there are some issues.
Yeah, and he has not dealt with any of the issues. And this is why we're saying, let's do it now.
And we do believe Dion Folks is the Minister of Transport now.
Well, I can't really say that because I've had very little conversations with Dion as it pertains to transport. So it seems as if the transport office is now abandoned.
Oh my. Wow. All right. And the other issue was the rental plate, the SD plate, and the taxi plates look very similar. And it's been causing problems. You have evidence of this happening?
Yes, it is a litany of complaints that the Ministry of Tourism has. Even right up to the American Embassy has concerns about taxi and SD plates being the same. Because what it does, it opens up a Pandora box. The average person now who drives a taxi, I mentioned all those things that they have to go through to become a bona fide, certified taxi driver. But then you have another taxi culture that is allowed to operate in this country that competes directly with a taxi driver because of a plate color. That is the SD, all right? The self-drive cars some of these guys could get a deal with some self-drive companies for $30 a week. Mm-hmm. And you instantly become a taxi driver because you compete directly with them. They park on the taxi stands downtown. They operate from the fish fry. Inviting tourists into the cars, and these people are undocumented, unregulated, and they are certainly not insured to take tourists or even natives mm-hmm. for hire. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to... The government is not going to see the seriousness about this until something happens to one of those tourists, and those tourists sued the Bahamas government for millions. And I told the minister last time we spoke, do the math. Change the color of the plates. That might cost a little in the public place, but do the math between when a tourist is injured and you have to pay out to keep that hush money, as opposed to just changing the colors of the taxi plate.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been now? It feels like this just happened a couple years ago, but it's been quite a few years since we changed the plate. 2015. Time is flying. All these years, 6 years has taken us to get to this point where we still are talking about this?
Talking about the color of a taxi plate. And every vehicle or every class of vehicle in this country have an identifiable plate. Mm-hmm. The private car has it. The government has it. The jitneys, livery cars, the tall cars, you name it, even the bonded verifiable plate color, mm-hmm. excepting the taxi and the ST. The two of them share the same plate color. The only difference between a taxi plate and an ST plate is one letter. T for taxi and S for self-drive.
Wow. Wow. So what's the latest you're hearing on this? When is this going to be fixed?
After 4 years, the Honorable Dion folks called me last week and told me they are now in cabinet trying to figure out what color the taxi plate ought to be.
The cabinet will decide that.
Yeah. Hmm. After 4 years, mm-hmm. you can tell me now, Dwight, this is a telephone caller to control a look. Mm-hmm. Sent to the prison or wherever the Ministry of Work that makes taxi plate, and we want a purple plate for the taxi or pink plate for the taxi.
How do you think they're doing? Are they laying out all the Crayola crayons on the table and any mini miny mo?
I assume so because it took them 4 years.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. I want.
Yeah, that sounds very on brand.
This is I guess. How long it took. My goodness. All right. So we talked about this a little bit earlier about the rates. You say the government sets the rates, but do you have any idea how they determine the rates? Like, how will they know that? Okay, from the airport to Paradise Island is so much. Did they give you any idea? Is it based on miles? How do we get to this point?
Well, unfortunately, Dwight, I was not in the meetings when the last rates were implemented, new rates. I think it was done in 2015, 16, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. Right before the election.
Right. And I think they just throw some numbers in the box mm-hmm. and come out with what they think. Because, see, some of these rates are very nonsensical. Long distance for less money and then travel short distance for more money. Mm-hmm. Now, in a
is
sense,
it based on traffic patterns or something, maybe
it's just somebody pull a rabbit out of the hat, just did some calculations and just.
But do you all complain? Does the union say something? This doesn't make sense to us. Can you explain how you got to this point?
There's nobody to complain to. Mm. There's nobody to complain to because see, the powers that be feels as if they have all of the answers, mm-hmm. and they don't need to consult with the union or any.
The cabinet decides.
Yeah, basically. The cabinet decides. They sit down and say, okay. To go from the airport to Paradise Island, this is what it's going to be.
And this has always been like this?
Always been like that. And that is what it is. And then it's gazetted, then it's placed into law, and then if you overcharge, you could be then prosecuted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's why we are agitating for the government to give us an independent commission so we could deal with our business ourselves. The taxi industry needs to be an independent industry.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now,
it sounds like also too, for lack of a better term, this entire system is really trash by design. And are we seeing the same thing basically with the bus industry as well? With buses in terms of taxi? I mean, it seems like, because I know persons, that have like 3 and 4 plates, but they don't actually drive the bus. They lease it out to people. And I've met people that, some police officers and all, who bought buses on loans and stuff, and they still have to lease out for plates. And it seems like there's really no difference between the taxi industry and the bus industry. And the same amount of, it seems, political involvement with the taxi industry and their plates seems to be the same with the buses.
So, it has to be raising awareness. I think is key in this issue to let the public know, like, the reason why some of these services, from the perspective of the public, no fault I'm putting on necessarily the taxi cab drivers or the bus drivers, but the services tend to suck. And it sucks because the system that it exists in is trash. It's outdated. And if it's, and this isn't the first time I've heard this ever, anything you're saying, I've heard multiple times from other taxi cab drivers and sometimes bus drivers, is that, like, it's designed for just the continuous exploitation for some of the top to eat, while the people at the bottom have to basically fight and scrap and compete against one another, which is why we see all these traffic infractions the way that we do, especially in the bus industry. So there has to be something else that we could do, or somewhere we can assist with this, right? Because we're citizens of this country too, to basically bring this to an end. Because the way that this has been functioning for, it's got to be more than 25 years now. Just is absolutely ridiculous. And for a government to run on a campaign of reforms, not necessarily pointing fingers at anybody in particular, because all of them have run on those sorts of campaigns. And for this issue to just simply just get kicked down the road every single time, and people that I've met in my life just magically come into the possession of plates and be able to just make passive income and don't have to work because they're just leasing out plates to somebody else who has interest in the industry, is absolutely ridiculous. It's not even a banana republic. It's just ghetto. Like, we shouldn't be operating like this. So I think there's more than there has to be something else that we can do to assist to bring this to an end.
Well, I think it needs to be more than just the taxi drivers complaining about this too. The public has to get behind this as well to see real reform here, and we're not necessarily seeing that. Probably for some good reasons. We're going to get to those reasons in a bit. But I know this is one of the questions I had, and I see one of our followers on Twitter asking the same thing. So, okay, you're saying this, the cabinet, the government sets the rates. Is this why we don't see as many taxi meters as we used to? I believe, are they still in existence, the meter cab?
No.
No?
The meter has become obsolete in the last race at the taxi fares. Even in the jitney, he's quite right. The jitney and the taxis are in the same
It sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. Because politically, when you have some political persuasion, when you go into the minister and they decide to give out plates, they give you a choice. Do you want a jitney or you want a taxi? And when you say you want, that's what you get. Okay, now, so the rates have been regulated by the government, and so therefore, when they determined that they were going to zone the entire island, see, the meters were good for a season because the entire island was not zoned.
Right.
So now they went in the last race, I think in 2016 or 15, and they zoned the entire island, and then the meter became obsolete. So the rates are set by the government. And you can understand, the average person who's operating a bus or a taxi, the reason why sometimes they act so unscrupulously is because the first two or three fares they got for that day, that's for the man.
Right.
Yeah. They didn't start working on themselves yet. Right. So and God help you if you're working wholly and solely the man's on the taxi on the plate. Mm-hmm. So then that automatically is about a $400 or $500 a week bill that you have to pay every week. So why is everybody looking at a taxi driver and saying, look, why is it so expensive? You have to sit in that seat of a taxi driver to understand what the government have done to us.
All right, so would you all prefer meters? We'd prefer, as customers, meters, I'm sure. But would you like a meter system to be in place?
No, the meter system is not. No, it has become obsolete because now the
obsolete rate, everywhere, but where? This is the only place where it's obsolete. I mean, this is, where is it obsolete?
No, really, I've traveled extensively, and most places, they have a set rate.
Really?
Yeah. Even, say, for instance, you take a cruise and you leave in Miami Port, and you're going to rate of $24. There's no meter. Okay? So, I've been to New Orleans, where you tell them where you're going, and they give you a flat rate. Uber, basically operates in the same way. They have a flat rate to where you're going.
It means a little bit different, though. Right? Isn't it a little bit different? I mean, they tell you how much they're going
to
charge
you. See, it's supposed to be more attractive by saying it's a flat rate. See, because you would like to know what you're going to pay before you get there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see, because that meter used to be a real tricky thing. It was really, for lack of a better word, it causes a lot of nervousness. Because if you get stuck in traffic
right.
And you see the meter just jumping, every time that moves, that's your money.
Yeah.
So you would like to know, even if I'm involved in a traffic piled up, at the end of the journey, it's going to cost me X amount of dollars.
I don't think we're talking the same thing, though. I mean, like those things you mentioned before, yeah, when you're going to the airport or the cruise port mm-hmm. and you understand that, fine.
Yeah.
But when you will have to go somewhere else, you'd prefer a meter, though, even with the traffic, right?
Yeah, but in a sense, it kind of makes you a little bit more comfortable in the taxi.
Mm-hmm.
But from my experience, the average person is going to ask you when they get in your car, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah.
Okay, and then once they agree, then they're comfortable to know no matter which route you take. Mm-hmm. See, because remember, the meter always had, the fellow who's using the meter always had that habit or that propensity to go the long way if you don't know.
Right.
To make more on the meter. But if it's a flat rate and you're going from here to there, he could ride you for an hour to get you where you're going, but it's still the same thing when you get there.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. I'm going to open the phone lines a little bit later to let the callers handle that one on you. But okay, so let's talk about what 2020 brought to the average taxi driver with very few tourists coming in. What was that year like for you? And is that now why we are hearing more from taxi drivers who are denying the claims that we have said that you all don't want to come over any hill to come pick up a Bahamian who needs to go to the mall or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you're now looking at the local market?
No, not really. You have to understand, there was always a local market within the tourist taxi industry.
I remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, the Mia cabs. Yeah, there was a local market then, but not since then.
Well, you see, we do have domestic travelers. And see, because of technology, things have evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember when there was 35111, the Mia cab.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union also operated a mobile cab system by radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that has become obsolete because of technology. See, because now of the cell phone or the easiest ways now that you could contact somebody.
Right.
You really don't need a radio anymore. And we found out the jitney system, where jitney system have been revamped also. So where the average person who wants to go downtown or wherever, jitneys are basically running in your neighborhood. They're not really on the main street anymore. So it kind of caused the taxi industry to evolve into something different.
What? I mean, some people really don't want to catch a jitney. They'd prefer to be in a cab by themselves or be with their family in a cab by themselves and pay a little bit more, not an exorbitant amount, but pay a little bit more for a personal cab experience as opposed to a jitney.
Well,
I mean, I think there's still a market there.
No, very little. To my experience, very little. Not many people spontaneously catch a cab. Most people who now need cab because of cell phone, they know somebody. And you find that, okay, say for instance, the domestic end of the airport. That is a very lucrative business for taxi drivers.
Yeah.
Some of the best fares that you could get as a taxi driver is from the domestic end. You have people coming in there who own businesses in the Rhode Islands who you go shopping with them all day on an hourly rate. With them is three in the hundreds.
Wow.
Okay? So it's a very lucrative market. So once you connect with somebody like that, you don't let them go. You give them your business card. You give them your house number. You give them everything they need to call you when they come in and to call you when they need to go. Or if they're going anywhere, they call you up and say, look, I can need you in an hour. I can need you in 15 minutes. And whatever you're doing, you drop it and do that. So the domestic end of the taxi industry has always been alive and well. It's just that it has evolved from the meter cab system because of the jitneys now that is running through the neighborhoods. It has become more effective or more viable for somebody to.
So you don't think that if the rates were lower, that people would say, I don't need a car. I'll just catch a cab and go where I need to go and come back. Is a little more than a bus, but much less than what those crazy rates were that the cabs used to have. And this is affordable. I can do this, and I don't have to wait on a bus and have all these multiple stops. You don't think the Bahamian people would grow to appreciate that and become customers of a system like that?
Well, I agree and I disagree. Because basically, gone are the days when you catch taxis to the food store or to the
because it costs too much.
Yeah, but not really that. It's just that it is now so. See, everybody's got a car now. When you open up the
because everybody has to have a car.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of right. have to.
You have to. But if you didn't have to.
Pandemic also showed us when they shut down taxis right. and buses. If you didn't have a car, you're screwed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
I would honestly prefer to not have a car. It's very expensive.
Okay. Well, like that. Well, that brings us to our next point. The taxi app that we now get yeah. ready to
Okay. We're going to get to that after the break. And when we talked on the phone, though, when you called into the show, I mean, the rates sound like they're going to be the same.
Well, like I said, we don't have any permission or we don't have any authority to change the taxi rates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is going to be interesting. All right. Let's take the break and then we will come back. We are talking with Wesley Ferguson, the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union. And you can call in as well when we get back. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259.
Yeah,
I just wanna stay in the sun where I find. I know it's hard sometimes. Pieces of peace in the sun's peace of mind. I know it's hard sometimes. Yeah, I think about the end just way too much.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my bed, so I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
Your home is where your heart is, but it's more than just shelter. Your home is your workplace. Your home is school for your kids. Your home is even your happy place where you play. Get the best internet connection wherever you are with blazing fast speeds up to 300 megabits per second for as low as $99.99 and installation within 48 hours. Sign up for any of our fiber packages today and get a chance to win a free tablet in your second month. Call or WhatsApp 577-SHOP or 424-SHOP and sign up today. Conditions apply.
Why Alive? Do it your way with Alive Prepaid. Choose our daily Freedom 4 plan or our 7-day Freedom 6, Freedom 12, or Freedom 35 plan with so many ways to purchase. Use your My Alive app, bealive.com, dial 611, or visit any of our Alive locations, kiosks, or Alive vans. Alive. Believe in best.
Believe in best.
Imagine. That's where every advancement begins, with an idea that things can be different, better. Now, imagine a world where your entertainment experience was all about you, your style, your show, at your budget. At Rev, that's what we've imagined. To join the conversation and learn more about the future of Rev TV, visit us at rev.bs/imagine.
Me, Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
Looking for plenty food and you're on a budget?
Well, I'm Greek.
Stop into Wendy's and grab our latest bundle. Introducing the Biggie Bag. With the new Biggie Bag, you get a Dave's Single, Junior Fries, regular drink, and four-piece nuggets for only $7.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more. Now that's a deal. It's the best on these streets. Available at all locations. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out
today. Wake up, it's a new day. Yeah, start off the start of a new way. You know that.
Way too much, but it's fun to fantasize on my enemies who wouldn't wish who I was, but it's fun to fantasize. Oh.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Straw along with Don Sargent. We are talking with Wesley Ferguson, the president of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union. An eye-opening discussion this morning. Let's take this call, then we'll talk about the app. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Straw. Good morning, Mr. Ferguson.
Hi.
Yeah, you know,
it's a really static.
One conclusion that, you know, there is no local market for the taxi service industry in the Bahamas. And you want to see something, right? Let the government move quickly now to grant subsidies to persons who want to get into the taxi business, the case to the domestic market. You see, this president seems to be a globalist, you know, where he focuses just on the Yankee dollar, which many taxi drivers would have done. Now, their minds have been conditioned to charging $30 a tour or $40 a tour, whatever the case may be. Now, it's very difficult for them to go back into a race where you where we used to have it, and you had the union jobs, the taxi jobs in the Bahamas, you know, and it's very sad that, you know, you have taxi drivers thinking this way, where you're talking about, you have mothers, you have brothers, you have basically a lot of workers who get off at 8 o'clock in the night.
Yeah.
Who get up at 9 o'clock in the night, who doesn't want the taxi still to get home.
Yeah, especially as the buses aren't running. I want you to call us back. We can barely hear. It's very staticky. You're making some great points. See if you can call us back, and hopefully the line will be better. I don't know what happened there. But he's saying you all need to change your mindset. There is a market there. You just got to build it, and they will come. But I don't know if they'll come for those rates.
Well, the point is, that's the name of the caller. Listen to a word that I just said. Nobody is in business to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that might seem harsh to you, but the point is, I list a litany of stuff that a taxi driver has to pay for to operate effectively and safely in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't pay all that money, plus you're working for somebody that you need to give them $4 a time.
All right, so I know you said you've been trying to talk to the government and it's not getting you anywhere, but I think we need to partner up, you and the people of the Bahamas, because I think the people of the Bahamas would want this, right? Clearly, they're not listening just to the union, but if we all demand this of all these, I was going to say clowns, all these people who will be coming to us in the next few months for our votes. It's not fair, right? I can't say that. Anyway, all right, for our votes in the next few months, hey, we need you to reform the taxi industry. This is crazy what's happening, and I don't want to have to buy a car. I can't afford to maintain a car. I'd rather be able to catch a taxi, and you need to do this for them and for us. And if we all do this,
there was a report that was commissioned on this dude discussing buses and taxis. I think it was back in 2008, 2009, done by the College of the Bahamas. I think it was Ian Strawn and Nicolette Bethel and a few others who were in on that study as well. It talked about the issue of, because of lack of proper public transportation, more people will have to buy cars.
Yeah,
they'll buy more cars, more
street, and get themselves in debt.
This is obvious, but yeah, there's literature in place that supports this argument that this industry also needs to change.
Yeah, so we'll work together and get the government to realize that this has to be addressed immediately if you're willing to change.
Well, wish you luck, because the government
we need
broke.
You to be a part of us.
No, the whole point is the thing is, the taxi union is willing to do anything and mm-hmm. everything that is necessary to accommodate the general public.
So the government wants us to buy cars because they get a lot of money.
So the
off
government
the duties,
wants you to buy cars. Yeah.
65% duties, and
the government wants those taxes that the taxi drivers is paying when it comes to business license, Bahama House, and all this stuff, because we do a Bahama House every year or so.
They're out to destroy us.
Yeah, because
all
you
of
know
us.
What can you teach a taxi driver? What happened last year that didn't happen this year? So what is new that taxi driver can tell a tourist by doing Bahama House? And Bahama House doesn't change the mindset of a taxi driver. If the guy is unscrupulous, or if he decides that he's going to do skullduggery, Bahama House is not going to change him. And you know how long we're trying to get the government to unleash us from Bahama House? Okay, because
you're
depressing us now.
Like, I understand why you're jaded. Like, I perfectly understand why. Mm-hmm. But I do think I have to agree with Dwight on this. This is one of those issues where you seem to have, well, it seems, I don't think you exhausted at all, but you've exhausted a lot of options and trying to bring a resolution to this issue. And I do agree that, like, I disagree with your point that about the domestic market. I think a lot more Bahamians would take advantage of taxis if they could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be able to afford it if a lot of the litany of issues that you outlined earlier, which raised the cost of you guys operating a taxi, were eliminated.
Yeah.
Predominantly the issue with the plates. If we empowered taxi drivers more, right, and done away with this I don't know what we could call this feudal, ghetto, very stupid system that we have. A hell of a lot more profitable, less overhead costs, and it would ultimately be cheaper for the consumer. And the government also would still make their revenue off of it. So it's not a lose-lose situation at all to rectify the issue. And I think you'll find if Bahamians knew, which I think a lot more know now, if Bahamians know and are involved in this process, they will absolutely stand behind you guys behind this. Mm, yeah. That's my opinion. Unless there's something else going on.
I think so as well, as I said. All right, we're going to get to the app in a second. We'll take these calls. But, you know, I really do think, especially when we get back to where we were before and when we have events, weekends, festivals, I think that's the time when the taxis can shine, right? A lot of people, they go and indulge a bit too much and would rather not drive home. And if the taxis were moving up and down and could take people an affordable price, you all could benefit. Everybody could benefit. This is where we should be. And of course, Uber and Lyft in other parts of the world are doing these things. And this is where your app comes in. Tell us about it. It's called Uniride.
Uniride.
Mm-hmm.
Uniride. And see, this is where we are going. This is where the taxi industry in the Bahamas is going on, especially under the leadership of the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union, where mm-hmm. we are going in short, the taxi industry has to evolve to meet the demands of technology, because we're going to get left behind if we don't, because we cannot continue to fight off things like Uber and these people who just pop up on Facebook and say, look, I am operating a Uber ride, and think of it as not legit, because they're not licensed to do so, and they're not authorized. And, of course, that's somebody who has an SD or something, and it's very dangerous mm-hmm. because you don't know who you're riding with. Mm-hmm. But our app, Uniride, is in the App Store. In fact, it's a little late because of COVID-19, but we've spent a tremendous amount of money in rolling out this very, very up-to-date, very, very diversified app. It encompasses and it captures all of the industry's issues, all of the problems, and it's at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it basically is designed for those who want to catch a taxi locally. Okay, so now we are trying to go back to that without having to get the radio cabs, because radio is now, in this age of technology, is now obsolete. So you would like to have your smartphone load the app, and you could actually see who the driver is. It's similar to Uber, but it has some of the same features, but it's a little bit more, because taxis in the Bahamas have a little bit more features than just the Uber ride, because we have SUVs, we have town cars, we have vans, we have sedans, and sometimes, in some cases, big buses, because mm-hmm. the taxi union is a tour company and have big buses like everybody else.
Right.
So all of this will be in the app. Limousines, everything. Even if you want, you have a funeral and you want to have a SUV come and pick you up at home, you could do that. You could track the driver. It's everything. It's right at your fingertips. You know who the driver is. You know the color of the car. You know the taxi plate. I mean, the taxi plate number. You know what it's gonna cost.
Yes.
Firsthand, and it's cashless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. So once you explore the app, and you think that the fare is fair for you, mm-hmm. then you just accept, and then the driver is on the way. So you could actually go on your smart device and see where the driver is.
You have to be a member, or you could just one time get a cab like this, or
no? It's just an app. It's okay. A regular app that you could use for a lifetime, and it's worldwide, mm-hmm. it's island wide, and it's Bahamas wide.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to tap into this app, or you want to buy into the app, and you're in Abaco, you want to participate in Freeport, you can participate in Cat Island, Exuma, even throughout the Caribbean. That's how diversified this app is.
Wow. Okay. And it's Uniride.
Uniride.
All one word.
Uniride.
Okay. All right. We'll look for it. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. You don't think those fears are going to be a deterrent, though?
No, not really. No, it should not be. And you got to understand that taxi drivers are willing to do whatever they need to do now to recapture the local market, because it is a very lucrative market, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Will we be abandoned once the tourists start coming back? Will you?
No, Uniride is here to stay. Okay. We cannot abandon Uniride.
Mm-hmm.
Uniride is where the taxi industry is headed.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you're talking, if I tell you how excited the whole industry is about Uniride, the Ministry of Tourism, the all of the major hotels, the resorts, even the American Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the local Bahamians are now excited, because they can now catch a taxi that they know who it is. And if something happens, they could go back and and report that to the police or to the app operators, and we can now rectify it exactly what happened. Even if you're overcharged, we could see exactly what the route that the taxi driver took, if he stopped, if she or she stopped, or whatever it is, because sometimes there's improprieties, the information is not clear, but track all of the movements of our taxis.
Wow. Let's take this call quickly. Good morning, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Doing well.
Wonderful. I would like to appreciate that's the president of the Taxi Cab Union, right?
Yes, sir. That's right, Wesley Ferguson.
Yeah. Well, sir, I see why the attitudes exist inside that union. Okay, and I say attitude, I mean attitude, and you know what the attitudes are. Here it is. A few minutes ago, you want the Bahama host to be unleashed from the taxi drivers. That's the only thing that keeps them being courteous. Okay, when you lose the union from Bahamas, what are you gonna teach them? Okay, what other program are they gonna do? You know, as a Bahaman, which is now the clientele that you guys are right now, calling you, flagging you down inside the street, coming from the food store, coming from the washhouse, it is difficult. Okay, and here it is, what we get is attitude first. And then service. Okay? You call that business, I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, boy. All right. I just wanted that. We got about 30 seconds. And that and other people were texting to say how the attitudes they get from taxi drivers when they learn that they're not going that far, or that the disappointment, it seems, that it's not going to be a big fear.
Well, let me just say this. You cannot teach anybody to be courteous. I don't care which program you put in place. It could be Bahama Host or any other program. You got rude people in church. So if you're nice, you are genuinely nice. It doesn't matter what program you did or you didn't do. The Bahama Host does not teach a taxi driver how to be nice, because you all complain about jitney drivers all the time, and they do Bahama Host. Every public service driver in this country do Bahama Host. And still, within those organizations, they're rude and disgusting people. So Bahama Host is not the answer. The whole point is... taxi drivers on the whole, or anybody who's in the public domain, you have rude people in government, all right? And they don't even do Bahama Host. We're complaining now about the road traffic controller, who's very unscrupulous, very rude guy. And, you know, what can he do? He doesn't do Bahama Host, so that makes him any better. So the point is, it's not an attitude. The whole point, you got to understand, taxi drivers are ambassadors of this country. Mm-hmm. We are business people. We're not scavengers. And until the general public starts seeing the taxi driver as a business person, mm-hmm. instead of just a ride that you negotiate, then it will always be a problem.
Mm, okay. We all have some work to do. I think we need to all work together to hope that we see the changes that are desperately needed in the industry. And I hope you're willing to work with the public on that.
Of course we are.
Yeah. What is going on with your building? What has happened to the building here on Nassau Street? What happened there?
Okay, well, I inherited that from my predecessors. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it was Hurricane. I can't remember which hurricane it was, but the hurricane blew off the roof of the Bahamas Taxi Cab building, mm-hmm. and we were in negotiations to get that building completely restored, mm-hmm. and COVID-19 sort of derailed us. Oh, but boy. As soon as we have some programs in place.
Yeah.
That building is going to be, within the next year, that building is going to be fully refurbished.
Okay. Hope so. Wesley Ferguson, it's been a very interesting discussion. I'm glad you came on and we talked, and a lot that we learned today, and we have to have you back. There's so much more to talk about, but thank you very much, and good luck with UniRide, and great talking with you.
All right. Thanks, Dwight, for having me. The pleasure was all mine.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Morning Blend Business. We're talking about the real estate sector. What's happening there? You don't want to miss that coming up in Morning Blend Business right after news. Stay with us. Wake up. It's today. Wake up. It's a new day.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Wake up, it's a new day. Wake up, it's a new day.
Welcome to Morning Blend Business. Welcome back to our Morning Blend listeners who have been with us all morning. Again, this is the special part of Morning Blend dedicated to the world of business. Every day we will delve deeper into matters that impact us all, the economy, industry, the public and private sector, your personal finances, money management, business trends and opportunities, and news and analysis on any developments. As it is Tuesday, it's the focus on the private sector. Today, we're going to be looking at the real estate sector, and definitely a lot to talk about there. Our special guest with us this morning from the Bahamas Real Estate Association. We're going to get into that in just a bit. But first, it is time for the Morning Business Report, brought to you by CFile. In your Morning Business Report, after nearly a year closed, Fusion Superplex has now been granted permission to operate its indoor cinemas. That's according to a letter from the Prime Minister, revealed yesterday. When contacted, Fusion Superplex Chief Legal Officer Dequoia Bridgewater saying the company appreciated the Prime Minister's consideration, but could not say when the cinemas would reopen because multiple things have to be put in place before they can serve the public. The letter from the Prime Minister to the chairman and CEO, Carlos Folks, dated February 12th, came a day after Guardian Business reported that the facility remained closed despite having completed necessary COVID-19 protocols, including a December 17th inspection by the Department of Environmental Health Services, which led it to conclude that they had no objections to the consideration for the reopening of the facility. The Prime Minister said he would allow for the entertainment facility to operate its VIP cinemas, which have limited two-seater cubicles, at full capacity, and other cinemas at one-third capacity. Governments in the early stages of redeveloping the Treasure Key International Airport in North Abbott Hotel development in the area. That's according to Director of Aviation Algernon Cargill. Cargill telling Guardian Business that local architects are developing modernized plans for the airport, which could become a fixed-base operator or a small airport. He said the government is looking at a public-private partnership model for the airport, which sustained damage during the passage of Hurricane Dorian. And the owner of the Palms at Three Sisters Resort on Exuma is hoping to net $12 million when the 18-acre property, which has been approved for development, is auctioned later this month. Fred Wetzelberger, the president of the Three Sisters Resort Limited, who has owned and operated the property for 17 years, said after trying for years with realtors and not getting much traction, he's decided to try auctioning and has already piqued the interest of local and international investors. Read more about this in today's Guardian Business section. In your Market Watch, recapping trading on the BISX from Monday, Your Mighty Limited moving 115, shares closing at 32.12 unchanged. Bahamas First Holdings moving 5,000, closing up 10 cents to 235. Consolidated Water unchanged at 266. Emira Incorporated unchanged at 1024. That's your Market Watch, and that is your morning business report brought to you by CFAL, creating wealth and growing wealth for future generations. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our discussion about the real estate sector in the Bahamas, just where are we at and what does the future hold? That's when Morning Blend Business returns here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969 and text us 422-4796. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happen, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas. Then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hear that? That's the sound of your money working for you. Because at CFAL, we know you work hard for your money, so we make sure your money works hard for you. In 20 years as a leading investment firm, we've helped thousands of Bahamians grow their wealth and build a more stable future with savings plans, pensions, and wealth services to suit everyone. Whoever you are, whatever you do, we have financial solutions that will work hard for you. Visit or call us today to put your money to work. CFAL, seize your future. Today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Another summer day has come and gone away from Paris or Rome, but I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I so feel all alone, just wanna go home. Oh, I miss you, you know. And I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one a line or two. I'm fine, baby, how are you? Well, I would send them, but I know that it's.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio, Morning Blend Business on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Strawn, Don Sargent sticking around with us this morning. We're very pleased to have with us on these Private Sector Tuesdays this morning. Our guest is Christine Wallace Whitfield. She's the president of the Bahamas Real Estate Association. Good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we know we just... we know this year, this is the past year, was quite something else and threw everybody off the course they were on. But let's talk about what that has done for the real estate sector in the Bahamas. Are you worse off now than you were a year ago? Did things improve? Did things get worse? Give us an overall picture.
Well, I think that, that's hard to say because did okay. Well, look, at the beginning of the pandemic, everything was, it was new to everybody.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, you know, kind of, you know, were scrambling, trying to figure out how to get through this, you know, world pandemic. And after a few months, after basically, you know, thinking, strategizing, I think a lot of the bigger companies were able to kind of, you know, think and move smart with in terms of the virtual tours. You know, I think a lot of people changed their marketing ideas and concepts, and so they were able to utilize this virtual, it's a new virtual real estate, live videos, live feeds going on now.
So some of that started before the pandemic as well,
some of
right?
that has, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of that did start, but I think a lot of the smaller companies and, you know, our country is so small, so mm-hmm. a lot of people are on social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very big on social media, and I think a lot of people have now started seeing the way forward mm-hmm. with virtual tours and videos, 3D videos and things like that. So using that and utilizing that area has helped a lot. And I think between that and then with the market that, well, after the U.S. elections have kind of changed a little bit now, seeing an influx of people looking to get away, looking for the quiet life, island life, things like that. So we're now starting to see a little bit of an influx of people looking for vacation home, second home, which is great. And I think before the end of the year, before the last quarter of 2020, we saw that a lot of companies saw that coming.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been very interesting for the real estate market.
Wow. So not necessarily worse off. So things are looking promising.
Yeah, things are looking promising, but I try to get feedback from a lot of different individuals from different companies, you know, to try and then I, you know, try to pay attention mm-hmm. To see what's going on. And I think, you do have a lot of the bigger companies, the well-established companies who have, able to market and market their companies and their product and their properties better. The smaller companies, you know, have been kind of stepping up to the plate. Individual, you know, real estate is all about the individual as
right,
well.
Right.
You know, you have to promote yourself mm-hmm. and push yourself as best as you can. So, look, it's the strongest. The
yeah.
strongest will survive.
I'm sure. All right. So we're seeing some interesting things come out of the U.S. where they're saying home sales are up in some markets,
yeah.
right? And I have some theories. I don't know if we're seeing that here. I know a lot of people aren't working here, so that's yeah. challenging. But with the amount of time that people had to spend, especially in the beginning of the pandemic, isolated at home or in quarantine or just forced to stay home, more people seeing the value of having a home. Are you seeing that here where people say, it's time for me to stop renting, I need to buy a place? Any of that type of talk?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that talk. However, you know, it still is a very, very difficult time for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the rental market, as I'm sure you are aware, during the pandemic, you know, a lot of people had to readjust their lives and
yeah.
Because they couldn't afford the current rental that they were, you know, used to
mm-hmm.
Because of no job, things like that. So they had to either move in maybe with parents or with families or just look for, rental that was a little less costly. So it's, you know, it's been challenging like that. And so moving to the home buyer, there are a few people out there looking for homes. And I think maybe they've saved or, you know, I don't know, but it seems as though people are looking to get away. They're trying to contact their lender, to see if it's possible for them to go ahead and buy a home, because I think they're just tired of renting. So if those that can do that and can afford to do that, we've definitely seen an increase that way.
You mentioned the rental market.
Isn't this technically, the economy being the way it is, would you say that this is more of a buyer's market, that if someone wanted to buy property in, let's say, New Providence, that it would be easier for them now than it would have been, let's say, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's definitely a buyer's market. Definitely. I just had a conversation with a couple real estate brokers the other day, and they've seen the prices have been dropping because people want cash. So now it's becoming a buyer's market, and you're seeing people negotiate more.
The whole country, or just New Providence?
That makes me wonder, how extreme, right? Because in New Providence, one of the things that have been said, especially by younger Bahamians, is that property prices are too high compared to what they actually make. And now that we're in this sort of market, where like properties that, let's say, like 2 years ago would still have a market value of, let's say, $90,000 for a 50 by 100, you think it's possible for someone in this sort of environment to just literally show up with $50,000 cash and negotiate their way down to something like that?
It depends. You know, it really depends on the owner, the seller, and what their current status or situation is. You know, sometimes it's the luck of the draw. You know, if you find a seller who is really anxious and desperate, then hey, you know, they may be inclined to accept a deal.
Buyer's market everywhere in the Bahamas, or mainly New Providence? What are we looking at?
You know, I think everywhere, but mainly I've mainly seen it in Nassau. You know, of course, the Outer Islands, and as you know, Grand Bahama and Abaco were affected with Dorian, and that has kind of been a buyer's market since Dorian. So, and they're still trying to get up, get back up and running, but. I know an agent over there has said, you know, the prices have definitely decreased, and it's still a tough market there in Grand Bahama, that is. Yeah.
You'd mentioned the rental market. People who had been looking for properties, rental properties, are they still that eager about it, seeing as the challenges so many have had over the past year with being able to collect rent? Has that changed perceptions?
You mean in terms of people looking for rentals?
Right, yeah, wanting to get in that. Again, that business, basically. I mean, this has not been a pleasant year.
No. Sorry, I didn't understand your question. In terms of, you mean getting the business of what,
so,
rental?
You're right. You decided this is going to be an income generator for me, I'm going to buy this, and then I'm going to rent it out.
Right?
Are we still seeing that?
Well, I mean, there are still properties out there that are vacant. So I think at this point... you know, there are investment properties on the market for sale for that. But I think I've seen more vacant lot sales, and also second home buyers from away from and looking for condos. Now, for the local market, I haven't seen much in terms of investment properties to then go ahead and rent it. I think you've just been seeing basically single family home buyers looking.
Right.
Properties are there, but basically lower end. A lot of people are looking for the lower end properties right now.
Wow. Yeah. What about Airbnb and people turning their homes into that? How has that been over the past year?
Well, actually, that's been surprisingly popular because of the fact that some of the hotels haven't been open.
Right.
So, and then once the air flights started coming in again, then you saw more people turning their homes into an Airbnb situation. So that's been good, and then that's been a big request also for foreign buyers looking for properties where they could do short-term rentals, Airbnb, things like that. So that's been a big request as well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. We're going to get back to prices and markets and trends and things you're noticing and maybe if people are downsizing or looking for bigger in a bit. But this has been making the news quite a bit. Number of people who are been accused of, I guess, being fraudulent real estate agents. Let's talk about that. How big a problem is it? We've seen a number of people charged in the past few months. And how big a problem is it?
Well, you know, we always say that it's so important to use a licensed BRIA agent. I cannot reiterate that and say that enough to the public because we are there. BRIA licensed agents are there to protect their clients, to make sure that they see them through the process of whether it's buying a property or selling their property. You know, there's a process to this. You know, when they're buying a property, they get their deposit, they place their deposit with their attorney, and it's held in escrow until the sale is closed. You know, so, and we are there to guide them and tell them that is, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when somebody comes along and is not licensed and you know, being rogue and out there trying to deceive, or you know, somebody looking to invest their money into something and it goes wrong, we cannot protect them. So you know, I'm you know, kudos to the government for doing this and you know, making this known, because it's important for the public to know that you must use a BRIA licensed agent. Mm-hmm.
How often do you hear stories about this? How frequently is this happening?
Oh, well, you know, it's people will try. People are out there. They will try. But it's important to for BRIA to, you know, make sure and notify the public and educate the public. And that's one of the things that we're working on for this year, mm-hmm. Especially with the last few cases lately. We came together and we've decided that we're going to put up our you know, marketing and make sure, educate the public out there, because a lot of people don't know.
Right.
They don't know the steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage you all, you know, you're looking to buy or you're looking to list your property, make sure that you can go to the BRIA website, Bahamas Real Estate Association.com, and all the licensed agents are there. Mm-hmm. Pick, choose, and refuse.
I haven't heard much about it recently, but I know a few years ago, there seemed to be, I don't know if I would call it a movement, but people trying to bypass the agents and sell on their own. So basically buy directly from the owner. Talk about that. What are the pitfalls there? Are we still seeing a lot of that, or hearing people say that, yeah, let's save some money and just do this between ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, you see that, but it's mainly, a lot of people are now using a BRIA, you know, BRIA licensed agent, because we've done classes, certified residential specialists. You know, we've done a lot of you know, educational programs, so we can then educate the customer and client. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sale by owner, that's very common. You see the signs here and there, and but you know, we also negotiate. We also help see them through the process, and we can best negotiate for our customer or client with those that are selling their home, or you know, so it's, you know, they're out there, but yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. If they're see a for sale by owner sign, you know, they can go direct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, we're just there to help. You know, we are the educated you know, licensed real estate mm-hmm. agents, so we know what we're doing. It's our profession, and we can help you better through the process.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about that, because if people think, well, this is going to be simpler, it'll be easier, we'll save some money, we won't get those brokers or agents rich, we'll just do this and cut the cost down. What are some of the horror stories out there based on this, if you think you can do this on your own?
Well, you know, there are a... Goodness, well, if you think you can do it on your own, you know, that's fine. But it can be a headache to a lot of people. They find, oh my goodness, I didn't realize all of this was involved, you know. But for if you basically have an agent list your property to sell, and we're there to help find a buyer, we will advertise the property. See, we advertise the property once you sign with us, and we put it up on the MLS, multiple listing service. That goes, once that's listed with that one agent, mm-hmm. that goes out to all of the broker firms, all the companies, all the websites, and it just... So when you list with that person, you don't have to worry about anything anymore in terms of having to call this one, you know, call about 10 other agents.
Right.
Because we have the feed that then generates the one property to everybody's website, which is great. So that's that tool. And then, you know, we basically will then, we get an offer, you accept that offer. Yes, there is a real estate commission because there is a lot of work in that. You know, with marketing and doing the paperwork, putting the offer together, they sign the offer. We send that to their attorney of choice, and we basically see them through to the end of the process, making sure that they haven't forgot. You know, it's kind of like we're there to basically hold their hand along the way, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a service that we provide.
Yeah.
So, but, you know... A lot of people always say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it was so much work trying to you know, to basically list my own property and then no one's coming to see the house right. or the property. I'm not getting any offers. Well, maybe it's because you have it priced too high. Mm-hmm. And it's our job to then we use, you know, to the MLS to then get you your comps to make sure that you are pricing your property properly. Mm-hmm. So that
do you
it
all
can
do
sell.
That? Because some of these, what I haven't looked recently, but when I was looking years ago, I'm like, oh my goodness, this person's out of their mind if they think they can get this.
Yeah.
So what happens when you tell those folks that you are not priced right?
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't like to hear that,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. because everybody wants the most for their property. Mm-hmm. But a property is, you know, you have to do the work as an agent, as a licensed agent. You have to take the time out. Go to the MLS and get your comps together, and then you sit down with the customer, okay, and you say, look, this is the comps for the area, this is what's sold, this is what's been listed, this is what's been listed for 5 years, this is not the price.
Wow.
You know, you have to go through these things so they can understand, because knowledge is power.
Yeah.
They will then see, okay, and, you know, at the end of the day, they will understand, you know what, it's going to cost me more for my property to sit mm-hmm. on the market. I'm going to keep paying, you know, property taxes or maintenance fees or whatever. Let me just get this sold at your advice,
yeah.
a suggestion. So, and that's what we're there for.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the trends that you're seeing with home and home ownership, what things are like as we try to make it through 2021. And more with the Bahamas Real Estate Association President Christine Wallace Whitfield. Stay with us.
To me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road, and although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
When you get your child immunized, you are protecting him or her from diseases and also creating a safer community. It took many years for the Bahamas to get rid of infections such as polio, mumps, and measles. Keeping up with your child's immunization schedule so that they are fully protected can keep these diseases from coming back. The COVID-19 pandemic should not stop your child from getting immunized. Even if you're in, they should continue with follow-up visits to catch up with their immunizations. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information or to make an appointment. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Thank you. For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then, we ain't guns. Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
It's happening. And it's all straight talk with no chaser. Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss this.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Morning Blend here on Guardian Radio 96.9, Morning Blend Business. And at 9:41, it is time for your final look at weather for today, brought to you by Get Active Bahamas. Here's what's happening. We've got high pressure that continues to sit across the islands while a cold front will move just north of the area. Mariners should be alert for waterspout activity in the extreme northwest Bahamas. And beachgoers should be alert for rip currents at easterly beaches. For the northwest Bahamas today, cloudy and breezy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms in the extreme northwestern islands through tonight. Partly sunny, warm, and breezy with isolated showers over the remainder of the islands tonight. For the central and southeast Bahamas, partly sunny and warm. Breezy as well with isolated showers, becoming fair and mild tonight with passing showers. Small craft advisory continues. Temperature-wise today, look for highs getting up to around 84 Fahrenheit, 29 Celsius. Overnight lows tonight getting down to about 73 Fahrenheit, 23 Celsius. In your extended outlook, the cold front will become stationary near the northwest Bahamas before lifting north of the area by tomorrow evening. High pressure will continue to build over the islands. So for the remainder of the next few days for the week, it's going to be very warm still. Cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms tomorrow in the extreme northwest Bahamas, but partly sunny and warm with isolated showers over the rest of the country for the remainder of the week before another cold front successfully moves through on the weekend. That's your Morning Blend Business. Weather Report brought to you by Get Active Bahamas. Get up, get out, and get active. Four platforms will be announced. Take your photo or video with a copy of today's or that day's Nassau Guardian and log on to guardiantalkradio.com. Click on the Get Active contest link, download, and invite your friends and family to vote and like your entry, and you could win. The promotion ends February 26th.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
We are back here with Morning Blend on Guardian Radio 96.9. Dwight Straw along with Don Sargent. Don, you still with us? Is Don still there? Yep. All right, we'll work on that there.
Yes, there we go.
All right. We are talking with Christine Wallace Whitfield, the president of the Bahamas Real Estate Association. All right, before we get into other things, let's get some definitions here. So real estate agent versus broker, and then the term realtor. Explain all those for us and what the differences are.
Oh, interesting. Yes. So, well, a broker is basically someone who's been in the business for a long time and has successfully done their years and done all their courses. Mm-hmm. And once they've applied for their broker upgrade, and it's been approved, then they can then open up their own business. Of course, they get the business license, and and then they can also hire licensed agents, or you know, they can spawn someone who can do the real estate exam, mm-hmm. or course, pass it. So, but they can basically have their own company and with their own team. Mm-hmm. An agent, a sales agent, is somebody who's been in the business, who just started out in the business, been licensed, and works under a broker.
Okay.
Yeah. So the broker's responsible for their agents, okay. for their sales right. team.
So the big timers.
Yeah.
All right. Now, realtor is a trademark term, I think.
Yes,
term,
it right? is.
So what exactly is
Yeah.
it?
So realtor, we have a bilateral agreement with NAR, National mm-hmm. Association of Realtors, and mm-hmm. we've had this for years. And so the term realtor is not supposed to be used. I'm always telling some of these agents, you know, you can't post that.
Right.
You can't hashtag that. You can't do that. It's because it's trademarked. Mm-hmm. And they have an international trademark as well,
right.
so they can't use it. But I've spoken with NAR, and we are going to be putting something together because there are some of us who are, like, I can use the term realtor. Mm-hmm. I pay my dues to the NAR.
Okay.
I'm an international realtor, trademark. And there are a few others in the Bahamas
right.
That can use that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be doing marketing. Well, we're just waiting to hear from NAR and mm-hmm. when we're going to do this and educate our members
yeah.
on that. So, but yeah, it's, you know, it's so easy to use the word
right.
and the term realtor, and then
it sounds good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But when they're out there on their social media, and I'm always on social media, I'm just, mm-hmm. and I'll private message them and say, look, yeah, you're going to be using realtor because yeah, you, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, oh my!
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
It's okay.
We'll get there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all about education,
right.
and knowledge.
Exactly.
So,
and
yeah.
we hope we can help you out there. All right. So let's talk about the trends that we're seeing in with homes in the Bahamas today. In the U.S., they talk about a lot. People are downsizing, going to smaller homes. We're seeing that here.
Yeah, we're seeing that a little bit. I think now people that are looking to build or even to kind of expand their family are in big homes already, but still want to downsize because they realize, you know, it's less maintenance and it's not always about having a big grand home. So I think, you know, and then a lot of the properties too, and just speaking about New Providence, a lot of the properties aren't always very large in size. You know, the average lot, I think, runs anywhere between about 7,500 to about 11,000, 12,000 square feet, as opposed to Freeport. You know, Freeport, you can get a beautiful, you know, 18,000 square foot lot up to an acre lot, you know, inland or on the water. Right. So, yeah. You know, there's a big difference there, and it's, of course, supply and demand as well. So, you know, a lot of people are looking at downsizing because the costs, especially during these times, you know, pandemic, and people want to save. So there's a lot of that going on right now. Yeah.
Wow. What advice would you give somebody who is looking to buy a home for the first time, looking to make a land purchase for a first time? When advice and pitfalls to avoid?
Well, the first thing I would say is make sure you contact a licensed BREEA agent. Seriously, though, because we are there, we're trained, you know, we have gone through our educational process in terms of what we do when we engage with our customers and clients. So we are there to guide you along the way and to make sure that you are properly represented. So I would urge the public, anybody looking to purchase or even sell their property, home, whatever, to make sure and contact a licensed BREEA agent. It is so important because you will be protected. Yeah.
What about money and how much should they have for down payment? What are the rules now? What's a good safe number to start off with?
Depends. Buying vacant land or buying a home, you know, and make sure that your agent, your licensed agent, does their due diligence to make sure that they do a proper search on the MLS, on the websites, to make sure that they have sourced all options for, you know, your budget, because they have to, the customer or client looking to buy must make sure. And if they, well, okay, let's say if they're getting cash, that's one thing, if they're buying cash. But if they're buying or they need to get their financing, they have to make sure that they've been pre-approved by their lending bank or whoever they go to. Because that's important. It saves time, and it saves their time and the agent's time as well. And it cuts down, you know, back and forth. So yeah, and make sure they get pre-approved. And once they've been pre-approved, then the agent will look at their will look at the MLS and look through all the listings to make sure that their budget is there. And then they set up the time, the showings, to go and look at the houses or the properties. And then it goes from there. Yeah. They make the offer, and hopefully it's accepted. And yeah.
Any other mistakes you see first time buyers making that you wish, like, I wish someone had told you, I wish you'd known this?
Yeah. Well, they wish they'd not. I wish they'd not use somebody that wasn't licensed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
That keeps them up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, make sure that you know the agent properly. You ask the right questions, you know, the area. You give them the criteria, because the agent, sometimes if you don't, you give a figure, but you have to also give them the area, the criteria, where exactly you want to be.
Right.
So all of those things help. But just, you know, wish that they had known that they should have used a licensed agent. That's the big factor here. Yeah.
If you have any questions, text us 422-4796 or tweet us at MorningBlend969 or Facebook.com/MorningBlend969. You can call in as well, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. All right. other issues that you are facing that you're hoping by the end of the year might be resolved, 2021? What are we looking at here that is causing any concerns for the real estate market and the real estate sector? The text messages are coming in.
Yeah. Oh, damn. well, I've been hearing some the banks. I'm hoping to meet with several of the banks in the next coming weeks to kind of discuss with them their lending process, because I noticed that there some people have, you know, had some difficulty, you know, obtaining loan or getting pre-approved. So I think this is one of the things that, you know, we need to
this
kind of find out.
Post-pandemic, or this is even before?
Well, no, post-pandemic. I mean, there was a little bit. There's always going to be a few issues, whatever, but definitely now. And I think the banks are just very cautious and, unfortunate times. So I'd like to find out from them exactly moving forward, you know, what it is that they have lined up in terms of, or, you know, customer coming to get pre-approved and what they require from them, because it's good for us as the agent to also help in that process with them, because the first thing they do is they contact the license agent and they said, oh, I would like to buy a piece of property. What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. So, I ask, well, will you be getting financing? Yes. And I say, you know, you need to contact your bank and find out exactly what it is that you need and then come back to me or to whoever. And then we can go from there. So,
You mentioned it earlier about the virtual tours, but if somebody is interested, how has that been working, especially in the middle of a pandemic? Somebody, I really need to get in there and see it. Any special precautions have to be taken? How have you been doing that in the past year?
Well, definitely. Social distancing at first, and of course, hand sanitizing. And if an agent is going to do a virtual tour, he or she is normally in there by themselves. Or if somebody's recording them, they keep their distance. Mm-hmm. Then they do their video, their walk through, and that's fine. So that's not been an issue at all. I had to do a video tour the other day of another agent's unit, and you know, the agent was there. They opened up and they stood outside by their car and waited for me to do my video tour for me to send to my customer. So, nobody was in there but myself.
But the customer doesn't say, that looks good, but I really want to be in there now and see for myself.
Well, I haven't had that yet, but
so
I'm sure.
People are buying without?
Some people have.
Really?
Yeah, some people have, yes.
I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think
that's
you recommend
fine by
that?
Me. Yeah,
you,
well, hey.
On the virtual tour thing, right?
Uh-huh.
When I worked in real estate in terms of the marketing and video production side, mm-hmm. At least the firm I worked for, we had like a 3D camera as well in Matterport. Mm-hmm. Has that been more widely adopted in the industry?
Yes.
I think it was really reserved for like higher end properties, but I imagine now it's in high demand.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Everybody's using it now. Yeah. Everybody's using it now, which is great. Yeah. Which is great. Look, that's the way moving forward. That's technology now, you know, so definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take this call quickly. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Oh, it sounds like this line is the issue. Is it the line? Hi, caller. Nope. Okay. We're going to check on that one there. Okay. Somebody else texting in. For buyers, I recommend they do their own math on disbursement forms. Be ready for extra fees. That may be a surprise. Is that with the banks there? The extra fees?
Yeah, I've been hearing some things, and this is one of the reasons why I would like to sit down with mm-hmm. some of the banks or Zoom call. Yeah,
yeah.
And discuss the way forward and what extra requirements they're asking for now.
Mm-hmm. This one, if a deposit is sent to a seller's attorney and a request for further documents is made, what warrants the deposit being sent back to the buyer's attorney?
So the purchaser, well, initially the purchaser, when they're putting their deposit down, it's sent to the purchaser's attorney. Mm-hmm. Once the formal sales agreement has been duly executed by both parties, the sales agreement is then sent over to the seller's attorney along with the deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once the, God forbid the sale falls through, financing is not approved, or happens during the sale where title wasn't clear, then the deposit is then refunded back to the buyer's attorney, which is then given to back to the buyer.
Sometimes
things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, title isn't clear, or you know they didn't get financing. Sometimes they've gotten pre-approved, but something happens along the way. Yeah. You know,
this is a whole show title issues, but things have gotten better though, right?
Things are getting better.
Yeah. But you're still cringing. What's so?
Well, I mean, you know, that is what the attorney is there for. The attorney is there to make sure they do their due diligence, to make sure that the title is free and clear of all liens and encumbrances.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is what you pay the attorney for, to make sure that you are well represented and that the property is free and clear of issues. Wow. Basically, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big investment. The biggest investment you'll make. That's
absolutely
what they say, right? So you got to be very wise and get all the information
absolutely.
You can. All right. So how can people reach you and get more information from Bria?
So you can, Bria, our office is on Shirley Street. Call them 242-356-4578. Or you can visit the website, BahamasRealEstateAssociation.com.
All of that is one word.
One word, yes. Okay. Yes, yeah.
All right, but easy to remember.
And then we're also on Facebook and on Instagram as well.
All right. Christine Wells Whitfield. See, that time went by very quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Painless. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Don, thank you so much for sticking around. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, and that's another Morning Blend business for you. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. right after Morning Blend, which is from 6:15 to 9 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9. So stay tuned for On the Clock with Aaron Green coming up next. I'm Dwight Strawn. Have a great day, everybody.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.